Welcome to Let's Do It All in the Mall, where you are listening to Let's Do It Radio, sponsored by Do It All in the Mall. Today is Wednesday, March 24th, 2021. If this is your first time listening, as I always say, welcome, welcome, welcome. I am your hostess, Ms. Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anais Falcou Designs, broadcasting straight out of Tampa, Florida, and our guest speaker is Stephanie Whitfield Lott out of Houston, Texas. Why does love hurt with the topic? Who says there's benefits in purity? Part two. It was so good, we had to have a continuation on abstinence. So join in this evening's conversation by Skyping or calling in to 845-241-9985. If you have a product or business, you can bring it in to Do It All in the Mall, where all entrepreneurs can be found on the homepage under the Clients Carousel. Do It All in the Mall has been in business for over 13 years and is a secure 24/7 online shopping mall of over 5,000 stores for all your needs. You can shop while listening to entertainment anywhere you are. You can make a difference nationwide, worldwide. So take a tour and shop.
We do not own the rights to any information or music you hear at Let's Do It Radio.
And we will be right back and hear from Stephanie after Purify Me, sung by NDRE, and a quick commercial. It's a wonderful song, so please listen and we'll wait for you to call us at 845-241-9985.
Like you baptize me with your love.
Oh, oh, oh yeah, yeah. Hey, hey, hey.
Oh, oh, fine. Easy like Sunday morning, like an angel calling. He's taking me all in. I'm embracing him with my skin, like a glimmer of light. Like a vision of light, and he's so perfect that I couldn't picture him if I tried. See, some may come, some may go, but I'll follow you wherever. You're the perfect mate for my soul, and I know why I lose control whenever I'm around you. Yeah, 'cause you're giving me, and that's more than enough. Like jumping in the river of
your head.
Purify me, baby,
when I'm taking your
hand. And that's more than enough.
It's
like jumping in the river of
your head.
Purify me, baby. Yeah, yeah. It's like summertime always, like it's sunny out all day. Whenever you smile, sweeter than mama's homemade. I thought that every man of smoke and ashes, boy, you are milk and honey, yeah. See, some may come, some may go, but fill me up with your love, your nourishment to my soul, and I know why I lose control whenever I'm around you, 'cause you're giving me, and that's more than enough, it's like jumping in the river of
your head.
You're
You can find Let's Do It Radio on the homepage of Do It All in the Mall. Come join us and listen to Let's Do It Radio as you're shopping the first online mall with over 5,000 stores for all your holiday shopping needs. Yes, Do It All in the Mall has its own radio station, and you can listen to us as you shop. So shop with us, listen to us, and talk with us at doitallinthemall.com.
And welcome back. And as I bring in Stephanie, please call in on 845-241-9985. And hopefully some of the fellows will call in on the conversation so we'll have a male and a female points of view. And join the discussion, ask questions, and speak with her on Who Says There's Benefits in Purity, Part 2. So let's talk about abstinence after we hear this clip on What is Abstinence?
Matt, I'm so glad you're home from college. I've really missed you. It sucks having to do all the chores here myself.
Yeah, I bet. Mom's been bugging you to do the dishes for a couple of years now. No excuses anymore, Lucas.
Whatever. Okay, so tell me all about it. How's it been? Do you have a girlfriend? Are there cool parties? It must be so awesome to have all that freedom.
Oh, for sure. School's been awesome so far. You should have seen the Halloween bash we had at our dorm. It was off the hook. But there's more to it than having a girlfriend and going to parties. There actually is somebody I like. But we're taking it slow and getting to know each other.
I knew it. Spill the beans, Matt. I'm getting tired of listening to Grandpa talk about the news all the time.
All right. Chill out, dude. First of all, I decided to be abstinent this year.
Abso-what?
Abstinent. It means I'm not being sexually active with anyone right now. I'm abstaining from sexual activity.
Really? Not even with the girl you like? I thought the only people who choose to do that were doing it for religious reasons or something.
That can definitely be a reason. But there are lots of reasons someone might choose it. For me, I decided to make that choice so I could really focus on my classes. And the girl I like is also pretty focused on school. We both agreed that it would be nice to get to know each other better and chill before we're sexually active.
Wait, does that mean you can't even kiss the girl you like? Or, you know, do other stuff?
Well, in our case, we've made out a few times, and sometimes we cuddle, but that's it. For the most part, we go out for meals or go to the movies together. There's also a lot of studying to do, so we're pretty busy with that also.
Got it. You know, this reminds me. Ben's older sister also decided to be abstinent, but that was because she didn't want to get pregnant or get any sexually transmitted diseases.
Yeah, those are also totally valid reasons for making the choice. And sometimes, it's as simple as just not feeling ready to have sex. A person can always change their mind anytime they want.
Well, Matt, you've given me some good stuff to think about. I have to admit, though, I'm pretty excited to have sex.
And that's fine. Remember, everyone's personal sexual choices are valid and should be respected.
So, yeah, the word abstain can apply to other non-sexual things, too, right?
Sure.
In that case, can you please abstain from eating all the pepperoni slices?
Lucas, it's good to be home. What have I done all these months without your smart aleck comments?
And Miss Stephanie, welcome to the show. Why does love hurt?
Hello, welcome everybody. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Well, this is part two. So last time, I'm going to go briefly over some of what we talked about. Last time we talked about what is purity and what is abstinence. And I'm glad that we just had this, the commercial that talked about abstinence, because abstinence is a habit or a rule. It's a void of certain things. So when that young man was saying, you know, like abstinence, like abstain for maybe what eating junky food or abstain from, you know, doing certain things. So when we're talking about abstinence, you're talking about abstaining from sex. I mean, it could be many things, but when we're talking about referring to sex, oral, anal, and any type of sex. And you have some people that are doing it, you know, till they meet that right person, and some people are doing it until marriage. So we're going to talk
right.
about the purity, abstinence, the benefits of purity. There's some research behind it, whether you're a Christian or not. We're not going to go on to it right now, but, you know, we're going to take baby steps. Now, for purity, it says purity is freedom from adulteration or condemnation. It is the to live according to the original plan, okay? It's virtue. It's a commitment to live according to God's will. So we're talking about purity, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
So before I go into the reasons of why do people practice or not practice purity before marriage, I want to ask and see what you guys think. Why do you think people may or may not practice purity before marriage?
Okay. The reason why they may is because, you know, if that person is not right for them, it's just like, okay, why am I going to give myself to somebody who doesn't care about my values and doesn't care about how I feel and just doesn't really care about me but just wants my body? And then the second part of your question is, why don't they?
Yeah, it's why would they practice purity and why won't they practice purity?
Mm-hmm.
Some people practice it until marriage and some don't. So just why do you think?
And some people, and then some people don't is because, you know, hey, why? I'm going to, you know, I know I'm going to marry this person down the road, so might as well, you know, test out the cow, you know, before I get married, see how the cow tastes, see how, if it works properly, see, make sure that I'm, you know, getting what I'm getting and not some old dud. And so it's like, you know, it's all in values, basically. And so if one wants to practice abstinence, good. If the other one doesn't want to practice the abstinence, you know, then they just either need to just get somebody else or, you know, if they love that person, maybe they should just say, you know, I love you, so I'm going to, you know, abstain with you.
Okay. And we're going to get into that. So, yes.
Stephanie, can I just add on that?
Yeah, of course.
Well, I feel like it's the way of the world that has changed the definition and how we should do things and how people used to do things compared to how they're doing them now. I think back in the day, you could not have sex with a man until you were married. And that's just how it was.
Yeah.
And, of course, they didn't have all these baby mamas and all these single mothers and things like that because it was the way the world was. And now it's more, if you want to do it, you can do it. And there's no, it's not like, well, you shouldn't do it. And I feel like it changed when kids start having kids and we took it as, okay, well, it was an accident. It was a mistake. Well, when that started to come into play, it really wasn't an accident. It wasn't a mistake. It's just that the children were no longer educated in the form of you just don't do it. And so then society started to accept the fact that, okay, it was a mistake. Okay, we can, you know, help them and get them back to school. And then, of course, here becomes a second mistake, and then the grandparents are raising the babies while the kids are still having kids, and the grandparents are raising them. So I just think the world has changed with what we should do as women and men and how the world has now been to the point where being a single mother is the norm in certain people.
Cultures.
And
mm-hmm.
So, yeah, certain cultures, it's just now the norm.
Yeah, I agree with you. We're kind of like the microwave generation. Everything's so fast-paced. Look at me. It's all about me. Get your bag. Nothing's wrong with getting money. People are focused on the bag, on self. And nothing's wrong being focused on self, but we're made to connect with people. But it's a time for everything. So I'm going to get into it, okay? As I say, unpack. This is a new word now. Unpack all this. Okay, so some of the reasons. Okay, so For example, okay, so the Bible says premarital sex is a sin. And we hear that all the time. We'll go into that. It's not like God saying, okay, don't do it, but hit your head. You know, and it's almost like hitting the Bible over your head. I think nowadays we need to do a better job of explaining it. And I'm going to get into that, but let's start. Okay, so there's like five things of why people may or may not, practice abstinence or purity before marriage. Some people don't want to practice because they say, how will I know if you are sexually compatible if I don't try before you buy, right? You heard that so much. Well, according to this Christian abstinence from AppleGodsWord.com, it says that marriage is much more than sex. And I talked about that last time. You marry someone just because you want to see if you really enjoy the sex, your marriage is not going to be good because that's the focal point, okay? Sex is important in marriage, but it's not the most important part. Okay, also, when you're focusing on, I need to try the sex, I need to see if we're compatible. Well, if we look at it, we're having this problem because really you're supposed to wait for marriage to have sex. So we're actually supposed to be, virgins unless we're married. So you wouldn't even have all this in your head if you didn't try it. But that's neither here nor there. And those people who are virgins, they're doing it the right way. The ones who are not, I'm not trying to, look down on anyone. But, because I wasn't a virgin when I got married. I wish I was and I knew better. But, thank goodness for God's grace. Okay? So the question is about not getting married unless you know for certain you have a good sex connection. That's rooted in being selfish, having that selfish mindset, and we're all about the selfies nowadays. And that can sabotage your future, okay? You should enter marriage with a mindset of loving this person in good times and bad times. And also we need to think about it. Say, you get married to this person, you got to know them, but, you had sex early enough. And when you have sex, it clouds your mind.
Mm-hmm.
It can cloud your mind. It can give a distraction and a thing that you really usually wouldn't think are okay. You probably think the things that you really wouldn't accept because of the sex and the distraction, the feelings that you're getting, we're going to talk about that in a bit, you might be okay with it and say, oh, it's not that bad. And say you go in your marriage, the sex is wonderful, but then at some point there's going to be problems, whether it's bills, whether it's a disagreement about, different viewpoints. And then at that time, maybe at that time you don't want to be around your husband or wife. And maybe this time the sex is you don't have as much sex, so maybe it's non-existent. Well, then you might be looking at divorce because there's no substance there. Remember, you liked each other. You thought each other was cute or handsome, you didn't have that substance because you jumped in the bed too soon before you really got a chance to vet that person out, right? Now, I know there's those rare occasions, so you have people say, but for the most part, this can happen, okay? The next thing, okay, some people think if I've already had sex, why stop now? Well, if you're doing something that's not right, why should we change? Shall I continue to do wrong? No, we always want to do better. Like I said, when you understand grace, you realize that God blesses us because of Jesus and that with his grace, he blesses us even when we don't deserve it, okay? But if we're trying to do what's right, if we're trying to go within his will, you want to change. You want to do better, okay? Sex is not
right.
It was invented by God. He doesn't want it to be something this horrible thing. I think sometimes how it's taught, as singles who are Christians or even non-Christians, don't do it, it's wrong. And it's not wrong. It's just a time and place. And we're going to talk about that, there's structure in how God wants things done. If we follow his way, then things will turn out a lot better, why not enjoy sex if you're mature enough to handle it? Sex can be, if you're not married, can be a sin and damaging to a 16-year-old just like it can be damaging to a 36-year-old. Engaged is not married, okay? You shouldn't do that. And the thing is, a lot of people I remember growing up, some people saying, oh, you're not a woman or you're not a man unless you have sex. Come on. That has nothing to do with manhood or womanhood. Self-control has a lot to do with maturity and manhood. self-control, okay? You don't want to do everything because everybody else does. We talk about some of these kids, how they listen to peer pressure. A lot of the adults listen to peer pressure, too.
True.
Okay?
That's true.
But we don't want to do what everybody does. Just because it's normal for adults to have premarital sex doesn't mean that it's the right thing to do and it's not damaging. And I can tell you, and we're going to go into, like I said, why is damaging before marriage, okay? It's just one reason they believe that people are getting people are actually getting married later in life because of the promiscuity. And I believe that. And the thing is, when you were saying something, it was interesting when you were talking about back in the day how you didn't have as many baby mamas and baby daddies. Some people talk about, oh, my, this old school, I don't want to listen to them. Look at the state of marriages now. Look, like you said, baby mama, baby daddy. People are having sex, not getting to know these people and losing their mind, getting depressed. We have to, as a society around the world, we have to hit rock bottom before things begin to change. And now, even not just in Christianity, in society, they're starting to talk about abstinence. I'm seeing a lot of things on YouTube, abstinence. They're realizing there's research in why it's good for those who are Christian and for those who aren't Christians. And like I said, we're not going to go into that right now. I know I keep saying it, and I'm excited to get into that, but we're not at that point yet. Like I said, there's a time for everything. We're not there yet. So we have to definitely unpack this. So as I was saying, though, when people have premarital sex, it throws off the natural balance of a healthy relationship. As God didn't want the balance of a relationship to be thrown off. That's why people lose their mind. They have sex, and they like him or they like her, and the sex is so good, and they forget about the red flags. And then when the relationship ends, why could he do this to me? How could she do this to me? You didn't know them like you thought you did. You jumped in the bed with them because they looked good, because you were horny. Come on now. We got to do better.
Right.
We got to do better.
Yeah. Okay. Or they may be under the influence as well. Sometimes people are under the influence of alcohol or drugs, and, you know, it's like, I didn't know what I was doing. I was there. Next thing I know, I wake up naked. Okay. That's all I
got. Yeah, and you can't do – I agree, and you can't do married stuff while you're dating. It is very interesting how some people say, oh, you don't need a piece of paper to get married. Then why don't you sign it? Because they know it's serious. They know it's serious. That's why they won't sign it. If it means nothing, why don't you sign it? But it's not even about the sign. It's more than that. It's everything that comes before the signing of it. You know? If we do marriage right, then, you know, follow the structure of it, we won't have as many, you know, divorces and this and that. Okay?
True.
The next one is, if you are really in love and plan on getting married, what's the harm if you have sex now? And, you look, if you made it to the engagement, don't stop. Wait till you sign. Wait till you change your name. If you, you know, carry his name or keep your name, however y'all do it. Wait till you get to that part. And remember, you can listen to other people's stories about their marriage, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be your marriage. My mother said to me, your marriage is what you make of it. Some people look at other people's marriage and say, oh, because 50% of people are getting divorced because of this, this, and this, and this, I don't ever want to get married. It's not marriage that's the problem. It's beautiful. It's the wrong people getting together, making the wrong choices.
Right.
They're not going to stop dating. I've never said, oh, I'm not going to ever date anymore, as many relationships that have gone bad. So why do that with marriage?
Right.
Don't blame marriage. Yeah. Okay, so what's the harm in it? Like I said, there's definitely some harm in it. It says just because you engage to someone doesn't mean that you may or may not get married to them. There's people who have gotten engaged, and they end up marrying somebody totally different. You've given your body to them. Your body is your temple. If sex shouldn't be like brushing your teeth unless you're married to them. If you want like brushing your teeth, that needs to be your husband and wife. Then you can do it like that. And there's a reason for it. Yeah, so it's like people think, oh, because I'm married, it's boring. No, if you want to do it like you want to do it, you know, like brushing your teeth, I brush my teeth, I do hand sex. If you're married, go for it. If you're not married, grown or not, no, you don't need to. And people are going to say, I can do what I want.
Right.
Yeah, you can, but remember, there's a cause and effect of everything. Are you ready for the effect?
That's right.
Because it's messing people up. People lose their mind, committing suicide. Because there's certain things that happen when we have sex. It's not just about the STDs. It's not just about the pregnancies. It's more. And we're going to talk about that as we go into the benefits of being pure.
Okay.
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 So you may or may not marry that person. Another thing,
right?
It says, okay,
people,
God will forgive. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. And people sometimes are together for years and years and years and still don't get married. And it's just like they become common law partners. It's like, okay, so why should I marry now? We've been together for 10 years, 15 years. It's like, well, like you said, why didn't you just go ahead and sign the paper? You know,
yeah, and it's
I've
not
been
even
engaged
just about signing the
papers.
It is more than signing the paper if they really understood what it was. The thing is, and they tell people get married, they lose their mind, they start thinking they owe me this and that. You guys are either you guys are coming into it and somebody's not whole or both of you not whole. You haven't had a discussion about how you want this marriage to look like. Doesn't mean if I get married, okay, I get to, you know, some people, I hate they say the ball and chain. You can grow, you can, when you're in a marriage, you come as one, but you also are evolving as your as yourself. Because the person who you marry your first year is not the same person you marry your fifth year of marriage or your sixth year or your seventh year. You know, you have to
people
give each other room. Yeah, give each other room to evolve individually and then to evolve as a couple.
That's true.
Okay.
That's, as they say it, sister.
So like they say, you know, God's grace. It says, because God will forgive you for your sins does not mean that there's no painful consequences. Yes, he's going to forgive you, but there are some things, whether you have an unexpected pregnancy, a baby is a blessing, but yet they deserve both parents in the house. Sometimes it's not like that. And I'm going to tell you, I'm divorced. And when I got, and I'm just going to be transparent, because when I'm talking to people, I'm talking to myself too. I grew up knowing that you were supposed to wait till marriage, and I did. No, I didn't. I'm sorry. I in high school, I was a virgin. When I got to college, my first year, I fell in love, and I had my eldest son. He's 25 now. And you know, some of that, there's some effects of that, of his father not being in his life. We were engaged. We were going to get married. So it didn't like his – wasn't a situation where he just said, okay, I'm going to not try to marry you. No, it just wasn't a good relationship for us, and I shouldn't have gotten it from the beginning. I love my son. I definitely don't regret my son. My son's a blessing. I love him. He's my oldest son. But there's some effects in that, and my son dealing with the fact that his father's not always in his life like he needs to. He's in communication with his father, but it's not like it needs to be. You know, I think they're working on that because he's grown now, so that's with them. Now, I did get married, and I had my other two children, and I was married for 15 years. But before I got engaged to him, I had sex with him, which wasn't the best thing. And I did have in my mind, I said, well, I'm going to marry him. I might as well. No, that was wrong of me. So I'm telling you, some people figure like, I don't need to say nothing because I did it. No, you could say something if you didn't do it, and you need to say something if you did because you have the experience. And I know you have those rare situations, but it's just not the best thing to do. People want to, you got to move in with so-and-so now. No, you don't need to move in with them. You don't need to do that. You playing marriage. You cooking, you cleaning, you having sex. Why would he get married? You're doing everything that a wife does. Let this man see how it is to be with you. Don't give him all that and say, now I want you to marry me. Come on now.
I already got you, so why should I marry you? I already got you. You're doing everything.
Yeah.
You're already doing everything.
Yeah.
So,
Go ahead, I'm sorry. And the
if a
woman wants
Right. And then as you were saying earlier, some relationships are toxic, you know, and you know, you don't know this until you are with somebody. And it's like, oh, no, I this is all wrong. I wish I could just turn back the hands of time and just go back to the way it was. And, you know, but some relationships become toxic, and you're just like, man, if I could do it over again, I sure as heck would, you know, type of thing. So, you know, it's a live and learn, but it's like, you know, you can live and learn if you just would have waited as well.
Yeah, and the thing is, you don't have to move in with a person to see how they are. I'm pretty sure you're visiting him, he's visiting you. You know, you can see how they are because eventually if y'all become close and tight as you know, friends within your relationship, they're going to let their guard down. You're going to let your guard down. You're going to see some things. Don't let sex be that distraction because it's meant for that connection.
Right.
And you don't need that yet. You have to see how each other is. And you have to see, okay, nobody's perfect. And the stuff that's not perfect, you know, the things that bother me, if this got better, I can deal with it. If it doesn't get better and it magnifies, can I handle this? Because if you can't, don't even go for it. But if you can, then just see.
Right.
Because there's going to be something that gets on. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
No, I thought you were saying something.
Well, and I was going to say, and a lot of times when you get with these people, they get so possessive, and it's like, you know, if you do leave somebody, it's like, oh, if I can't have you, can't nobody have you. And that gets to be scary as well. You know, that
because
gets to
they're
be
not
scary
coming
as
to
well,
the relationship.
Like,
yeah, they're not healed. They're not coming to the relationship whole in a whole manner. They need to deal with whatever past they're dealing with, whether it's past relationships or childhood, you know, memories. They got to deal with that because it's not good coming to that relationship with that. Now, yes, your husband and wife will, I believe, you know, help to cover you, but there are some things that you got to get taken care of beforehand, before you come into that marriage, even to begin that relationship. Because you're either going to hurt somebody or hurt yourself or hurt both.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an important.
That's very important. That's very, very important.
We definitely went through reasons on, you know, why people may or may not practice purity. So in a bit, we're going to talk about the benefits of purity before marriage, you know, based on society and based on the Bible.
Okay. Can you go over those five again? I know I got four of them. How do I know they're compatible?
Okay, so one, there might be the question, how will you know if you're sexually compatible if you don't try before you buy? You know, we already see the effects of that. People shacking up and not getting married, and they're getting married later in life, you know. They're getting married later in life because they've done almost everything.
Right.
It's like, what's the point?
Right.
And by the, you know, after they've done everything, okay, now but I need to settle down. Let me calm myself down. Let me, you know, focus. Okay, you should have been doing that from the beginning.
Right. You got to know where your mind is.
The other one is, if you've already had sex, why stop now?
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people think, why should I stop now? We talked about God's grace.
Right.
We talked about you can't go into a marriage just, you know, thinking about sex. And then also we have to realize, too, let's just be honest. Some people might not want to hear this. Somebody might go into sex thinking, I'm good. The man might say he's good, he's the best. The woman might go in, she's the best. The person that you're with may not think that you're all that. And at the end of the day, everybody has different things that – no, I'm just saying, somebody boosts themselves up. That person who you're with but might not think you're all that. So I guess the thing is that when you're with a new person, you have to figure out what they like or don't like anyways, you know?
Correct. That's so true.
So all that is
so
ridiculous.
True.
And the more connected you are, the more sex will be enjoyable. Like I said, we're going to talk about the benefits of it. Okay, so the other one, the first one was, I already said sexual compatibility, if you don't try before you buy. The next one was, if you've already had sex, why stop now? The next one was, why not enjoy sex if you are mature enough to handle it? We're always talking about sex is for adults. Yes, it's for adults, but married adults, not even for engaged people. And then the other one is, if you're really in love and plan on getting married, what's the harm if you have sex now?
Okay.
And then the other one, the last one is, God will forgive me, so why not just have sex anyway? Yeah. So we talked about those of on why people do or do not, you know, practice, you know, purity before marriage. It's kind of going like a little angel on the shoulder, like a little devil on the shoulder. You know, they say,
like
that
one,
this and say, this is the reason why.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Also,
now we have all that. Then we're going to go into a song and a commercial, and then we will be right back. The song is Wait for Love by Luther, and then we're going to be back. Yeah, we just have to, you know, it's all about patience, which is a virtue, and, you know, just got to be patient. And sometimes God's going to send us what is for us, correct?
Yes. Yeah, of course.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure. Here we go.
I can say for certain that it's true. There's a chance for me and you. I surely feel like the time is near. The picture in my mind is very clear. I think love has brought us here. I remember not too long ago, I was just a lonely person with a lonely heart. Yeah. And I was hoping there could one day be a chance for me to
get the love
that I'd been missing.
Sometimes love
takes a long time, but wait for love. Not a waste of time if you truly believe the impossible can be. Hold on tight if you think you're right, 'cause nothing hurts as bad as when you see you gave up too easily. Now I remember spending all my on a dream that kept me wishing that you could be mine. Yeah. And I was hoping there could one day be a chance.
Love.
And you're gonna get your
chance to love.
Cookies was founded in 1981 on Midwest values, innovation, and big ideas. Their homemade taste, fresh ingredients, and the same level of care you use when baking for family is still alive today in everything they make. To talk to us today is Kim Matthews. Kim, welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
So, Kim, tell us what makes Cheryl's the best for business gifting.
Our cookies, brownies, and cakes are all individually wrapped, which makes them perfect for sharing with groups. Additionally, our exclusively designed business packaging really makes a statement. Whether sending one of our delicious gifts to recognize an employee, thank a customer, introduce yourself to a new client, or celebrate a life event, our delicious and personalized gifts are always warmly received, no matter the occasion. Our dedicated team of sales managers work directly with different types of businesses of every size to create individualized programs and help find the perfect gift for every occasion and need. We have the pleasure of working with thousands of businesses. We can ship anywhere in the United States and even to Canada.
And business branding is so essential now. What kind of customization does Cheryl's offer?
We are able to customize gifts with a specific theme, color, logo, or method. We can also print on ribbons, labels, hang tags, gift boxes, and gift tins, and can design and build specialized gifts.
Well, finally, what are your most popular offerings?
We are well known for our buttercream frosted cutout cookies and our specially designed hand-crafted baked goods. Our customers love sending our bakery assortments that include a selection of our most popular products, and our gift towers are very popular and make a great impression.
To plan your next delicious gift, visit Cheryl's.com.
Cheryl's cookies can be found in the stores under food and drink section at Do It All the Mall. So just go ahead, type in doitallinthemall.com and see stores right there. Then go click on down the foods. And once you get into foods, you can see Cheryl's and you can order cookies. They're wonderful. They're so fresh and can be sent nationwide and Canada. Yes, Canada too. So please call our guest Stephanie at 845-241-9985. We would love for you to join in our conversation on Who Says There's Benefits in Purity, Part 2, Abstinence. But first I'm going to play a clip from How Abstinence Transformed Devon Franklin and Megan Good's Relationship from the Super Bowl Sunday on the OWN Network. So you believe that waiting, meaning not having sex, we're really clear, it means not having sex.
Until marriage.
Until you get married. Helps God to reveal things that you would have missed.
Oh, yeah.
How so?
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, it's interesting because when we got together, we both knew that we were going to wait. And what we learned in the process was, because we weren't being intimate in that way, we were able to really see each other for who we are. We were able to really spend our time getting connected emotionally, spiritually, being able to assess, can I spend a lifetime with you? If the sex goes up and down at certain times in our marriage, do I love you enough? Do I respect you enough? Do we want the same things out of life? Can we really be joined that way? And so what I realized in the past was most of the relationships that I went into, because it started off sexually, I didn't have the clarity or the discernment to see who the person was.
Because the sex clouds everything.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Because the sex is good, so you're like, oh, okay, well, you know, that's my boo. I need to be near him. And you become physically dependent upon that person. You make excuses.
Yeah.
You're okay with stuff you wouldn't be okay with long term. You know, it's the stuff that I feel like a lot of times relationships last, you know, 2 to 4 years. It's because it's taken us that amount of time to figure out that we may not even like this person at all, human being, you know?
Yeah.
Or we may, but they just may not be right for us.
Or they're showing you over and over and over, but then the sex gets in the way and you can't see it. Hello, my beloved. Thank you so much for stopping by. Welcome back, Miss Stephanie. As we continue with Who Says There's Benefits in Purity, Part 2, Abstinence. And as Megan and Devon were talking about, as we said earlier, it clouded the judgment. So therefore, boom, abstinence. You know, so it happens to even actors and actresses. It's real. It can happen.
Yeah.
So you don't have to, you know, because you look, think of Megan Good and all the characters she played. She was a little sex number and blah, 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 blah. But in real life, it's like, boom, hey, I can wait, you know, wait for love, just like Luther said, wait for love, you know, because it's going to come if you just wait. But I'm sorry, I always get off track, but I'm sorry. Go ahead, Miss Stephanie, go ahead.
No, you're not. You're fine. You know, we learn from each other, and I agree. And, people, you know, some people think, well, I can't because I did all this and that. It does not matter because God's grace, none of us, this is what I say. Some people I remember growing up saying, Stephanie, you don't do this and you don't do that. I said, but you know what? Mm-hmm. I sin, but my sin is differently. I'm not proud of it, but I might not do exactly
right.
What you do. But best believe I have my judgment, my things I do. None of us are perfect out here, you know. And if someone says they are,
right.
then they really have some work to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of them.
Right, right.
You can reveal the good and the bad. You go, look, be transparent and be authentic. Let's be real about everything. So, yeah.
Right, that's
so
true. That's so true.
The benefits of delaying sex in marriage, until marriage. Okay. So according to this study, it says happier marriages, more satisfying sex among the perks, you know, a study finds. So this is, you know, according to society. It says couples who
mm-hmm.
wait until marriage are happier with the quality of sex than couples who have intercourse before their vow. Because these people really get a chance to vet each other out, to get to know each other. Intimacy is, you have to, sex is the icing on the cake. But remember, before you
right.
have icing, you have to have that cake. You have to have that structure,
you got to
that
have
foundation.
Made. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right.
We can have a house and we can have all these beautiful decorations inside, but if that foundation is not right, it's going to crack and you're not going to have a house anymore. So we got to take care
True.
Of that foundation. It says couples who delay sex until wedding night have more stable and happier marriages than couples who have premarital sex, according to the study that appears in the Journal of Family Psychology. So this is not, you know, with Christianity, because I know some people say, oh, I'm not a Christian. That's fine. This is studies out here, you know. So they did a study with 2,035 married participants in an online assessment of marriage called Relate. And according to the study, it says that the rated sexual quality was 15% higher than people who had premarital sex. The rated relationship stability was 22% higher. And the rated satisfaction with their relationship was 20% higher. And then it said the benefits were about half strong for couples who became sexually active later in relationships before marriage. But it's still higher for people who wait until marriage, you know? Yeah. So
okay.
It's still higher
okay.
than that. Yeah.
Because anticipation?
You said what now? Because the anticipation?
You think it's because right.
It might be the anticipation. I think they got a chance to really get to know each other. And when it's almost like sex can almost be like you're drunk in love. It's like you're drunk almost, you know, like you're on a spell, you know. And there's certain things that are released that we get ready to talk about, okay? So it says people that waited, it says that they learned to have to develop the skills necessary for a good relationship. You get to ask the hard questions. You know, spend time with them, get to know them, talk to them. Intimacy can be sitting, and if you like picnics, sitting in your family room and getting his favorite food and your favorite food and having some, you know, watching your favorite show. It could be sitting on a
right.
park bench and talking to each other about, you know, things that maybe your day. I mean, some people might think, oh, that's stupid, but try. Have you tried it to see? But some people, you know, have that wall up. But it gives you a chance to, the more time you spend with the person and not having sex, you get a chance to see if you can really trust them and your walls begin to come down if you're with that right person.
Right. Because the more you talk to somebody, it's like, the more you fall in love with them, it's like, you know, I think I can love this person. You know, and if they love me, I think I can wait. You know, it's a waiting game. Plain and simple.
Yep. Yes. And the thing is, it says, regardless of religion, waiting helps relationships form better communication processes, and it helps to improve long, stable relationships, according to Busby. Okay. And I agree with that. You get, like Megan said, you know, you get a chance. You don't have that distraction. You use the word distraction, that kind of distraction. And it's like your brain's not putty. So some people are like, oh, the sex was so good. But it's interesting how some people say, I don't know if I love her or love him. And then sometimes when they have sex, I think I'm in love. Wait a minute now. Come on. See, it messes with your mind because there's certain things going on with your body that you that should are for bonding, and that's for husband and wife. Okay.
Right.
So
right.
So we should say that findings are also clear that the longer a couple wait to become sexual involved, they have better sexual quality, better relationship communication, relationship satisfaction, and more stability. So stability, it brings, you know, sexual quality, better communication, because you have time to get to know them. You get to build on
mm-hmm.
them. You have that foundation. And so it also it's not just about religion, even though it is something with Christianity, but it's like you're not giving your valuable card away when you wait to have sex, because you are valuable. We are, our bodies are our temple, every man, every woman. It's not something that should be just taught. So when we can't tell women to, okay, close your legs, but then let guys have seeds all over the world, we have to build
right,
a strong
right.
family. People can't say, oh, we have all these baby mamas. Well, you can't come a baby mama without a baby daddy. You can't come a baby daddy without a baby mama. You know, you can't.
Right. That's
you can't
true.
Go into a relationship. And the thing is, you don't heal from these relationships. You constantly go sleep with different people, continue to have all this drama, trauma, depression, and the kids are watching, you know. And I'm sorry, you have people who have kids, and they're in relationships, and they're shacking up, and they've never been married. At some point, maybe your child's going to grow up, mom and daddy, why aren't you guys married? They probably say, oh,
right,
yeah, because she's better than many mm-hmm. people who are married. Well, come on, let's look at the big picture here. Well, you're not doing it right. The people who probably got married, maybe they weren't right for each other. Maybe you guys are right for each other, but you're still not doing it the right way. You're not doing it God's way.
That's true.
Right, and that's right. You said it. It's not God's way. It's not God's
mm-hmm.
way. And once, if you wait for love, and God will give you your mate. God will give you that person that belongs to you. You know, you just have
yes.
to be patient. And people are just not patient. They're just, you know, the loins start, you know, acting up, and he's like, oh, you know, it's like a magnet. It's like, boom, I just fell on it. How are you just going to fall on it? Who does that?
Yes, this is what we... Yep. When we wait, we can find the right person to connect with for life. When we have, this is
right.
the interesting part, when we have multiple partners scientifically, when we bond, we break over and over again, we end up losing our ability to properly bond. That way, we're going in and out relationships. When we do that over and over again, then you're looking
mm-hmm.
for the next best beautiful thing, our next best handsome thing, and it means nothing to you. Because you're doing it in a way that there's a certain design for it, and you're messing up the rhythm of how sex is supposed to be done. It's supposed to be within a marriage because it's supposed to be a bond.
Right. That's right. That's right. And then you go from person to person looking for, and you never find it because there's an emptiness. So it's just like it's
yes.
like. Well, I'm going from, it's almost like not a ping pong, I guess you could pop ping pong ball or whatever. You just bing, 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 bing. It's like,
yeah, it is
who
like a
is
ping
the
pong
right
ball.
Person for me? Yeah.
Well,
not
coming
the,
back
you know,
to you,
yeah.
coming back to you, hitting you in the face.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's a good example.
Right,
keeps
right.
coming back to you, hitting you in your face. Shame on you. So
mm-hmm.
some of the guys who are going,
mm-hmm.
oh, you the man, you know, sleep with all your women. Are you the girl, sleep with all your women? I know for women, they say, you know, you're promiscuous or they call you a hoe, whatever. Guys,
right.
you're the man. But no. It's for both of y'all are wrong. And he's saying, you know, the thing is he has a void within him. No matter how many girls he sleeps with, he's still not satisfied because you're doing it wrong.
No.
You're messing up the original design. How many guys you sleep with, you're still having that void. You have to heal first. You have to heal. You have to pray.
Yeah.
You have to fast.
Mm-hmm.
You have to. And I say this faith-based counsel. Some people think, oh, I don't have to go to a counselor. Just like we talked
yes,
about
we
this
do.
Before, there's too many people. There's too many mm. people that say, "Okay, baby, I'm gonna pray for you. I'm gonna pray. If you need surgery, I'm gonna pray for you. So you're gonna go to the doctor, a medical doctor to take care of whatever situation, medical emergency you have.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
there's an emergency for what's going on within your head, your emotions. You need to go see a professional, someone who studies psychology, sociology, who has
mm-hmm.
strategies, who can get interventions." And some people say, well, I don't want to talk to a stranger. That's the best thing, someone who has to be confidential. Because if not, that they can be stripped. They have to be confidential. Unless you can say you're going to hurt someone or someone's hurting you, then, of course, they have to tell the right people. And they don't
correct.
Know you from the man in the moon. So they're going to be objective. Mm-hmm. When you talk to mom and dad, I'm not saying you don't need to. Sometimes it can be a little subjective. But when you talk to,
right.
And it's not that they're solving your problems. The thing is, they're mm-hmm. giving you a different outlook. They're looking at it objectively. You know, like you can have some, there was a situation, I'm just going off a little bit, to where I was watching a couple of people on TV, a mother and daughter, and they were kind of yelling mm-hmm. at each other. There was a counselor, a therapist, who was talking to them. And after she spoke to them and she gave them some clarity, she helped them realize their lot of life. She also helped them realize that, you know, out of the big picture of everything, the daughter was feeling like she wasn't heard, like she wasn't important. And that was her main thing, even though it came out in her yelling and screaming. And her mom didn't want to be around her because she's like, my daughter's acting just like me, and I it's hard to see that, and so I'm going to leave because I can't watch my daughter act like me. And if she's acting like me and she does that with me, I don't want her to continue to act like me, so I need to be away from her. So she got a chance to really, unpack it. You know, it wasn't necessarily – so the thing is somebody who's objective can help you figure out what the big picture is and give you strategy.
Right, exactly.
So,
and they don't have the size. And it's, right, and they can listen with an open mind and open ear because they don't mm-hmm. know you. I mean, they don't. They can't judge you. You know, it's like, you were saying the mom and the daughter were yelling because the mama saw herself as a mirror of her daughter. And so, therefore, it's like, now I see what I was doing wrong. So, therefore,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't want to see what I was doing wrong because maybe I want to continue doing what I was doing wrong, you know.
But
and now that I see it,
mm-hmm.
right. But I mean, if she saw that in her, what she was doing in her daughter, you know, she was seeing her reflection. And so therefore, she was seeing exactly what she was doing and she didn't want to see what she was doing because she may have been wanting to continue. I didn't see the episode, so. You know, she wanted to continue what she was doing, or she couldn't see that she was wrong in doing what she was doing, and she didn't want to right with her wrong. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing is, after that, knowing what it was, then the therapist can begin to give the mother some strategies of what she can do, you know, when that happens,
mm-hmm.
or how to, you know, confront that, and you know, how to use the feeling words and say the feeling before you say, you know, instead of saying, you did this, you did that, instead of saying that, saying,
mm-hmm.
I was hurt, I felt angry when I was called this name. Because sometimes people, when you say you did this, nobody wants to be blamed for things, even if they did something wrong. We get on the defense,
mm-hmm.
most people. But when you begin to say hurt, I was this and that, even though they didn't necessarily say, it's, even though you might have done it, that person might have done it, instead of saying you did it and you start with the feeling, I feel hurt when I don't get a chance to, you know, explain my side or this and that, then you might
mm-hmm.
listen a little bit because even though you know it might have been you who did it possibly, you're hearing the feeling. You're like, okay, I don't want them to feel like that. Okay, wait a minute. They're feeling this. Why are they feeling this? What happened? Oh, when I did that? Oh, okay, well, I don't want to do that because it made you feel like this. And that takes
correct.
Practice. It definitely does. When you're hurt and your feelings, you're like, you want to get that person who did it. So it takes time.
It does. Right. It does.
Okay, so going back, so we talked about, I was saying, according to www.josh.org, according to science,
mm-hmm.
When we are having, so sex is meant for husband and wife. When we're having sex, researchers have discovered that oxytocin, or the cuddle hormone, is a chemical release during sex and the activity leading up to it. So when it's released, it produces the feelings of caring, trust, and deep affection. Okay, and for guys, Preston, I might be saying it wrong. It's released in the brain for men. It's a hormone that causes a man to bond with a woman. We don't need to bond with people
mm-hmm.
that we're not having a long commitment with, okay? In engagement,
right.
we may
right.
or may not marry that person, but when we are, you know, having that commitment, we've gotten a chance to get to know that person, we're not having sex with that person, then we get married to that person, and then we begin to have sex, that's a person that I've already had a major commitment. I'm saying to them that I don't want any other woman or any other man in this world. And it's interesting how some people say, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I don't want to be stuck with just one man or one woman. And I think that's part of the problem because of that quickness of going from sex to sex, hopping from person to person to have sex. Why wouldn't you?
Right,
here's
right,
the
right.
interesting part. You have friends that you have people who you are best friends with, who you
mm-hmm.
get mad if somebody else is friends with them. I've been friends with so-and-so for 20 or 30 or 40 years, and they don't ever want to stop being friends with them. That should be your husband and wife. That's why you need
there
to
you
have
go.
Sex
That's
so you get married. They need to be that
right.
friend that you see yourself with, and that's it. You have that best friend. And that's the part they're missing, the best friend. You're jumping in bed too quick. You don't
mm-hmm.
get a chance
mm-hmm.
to get the best friend. The best friend, that's the husband. The best friend, that's the wife. We can be
exactly.
innocent. We have this person 20 or something years. I've been best friends with them. If I have a new best friend, another best friend, that's fine. But I don't want to be without this one. They've been with me through the good times and the bad times. That's supposed to be your husband and wife.
That's
don't
what it's supposed
get the distraction
to be. Mm-hmm.
Of sex. Get to know them in and out, just like you do your best friend. Then you wouldn't want to have you wouldn't have a problem with being with them for the rest of their life.
And
do you
have sex with your best friend? I mean, some people do.
No,
but
I
mean,
hope
if
not.
You've been
and
best
that's,
friend,
they, that's a whole other thing. I don't believe that friends with benefits met.
That's
come on now.
Yeah, is that that's the next topic?
Oh Lord, because they hurt it themselves. It's just yeah. And remember that breaking, getting together. That's gonna mess with you emotionally. That's gonna jack you up. Remember, they said the hormones are released, the cuddle hormone. That's why, you know,
right.
you tell sex when you have sex with him, I want to be around him all the time. I want to be around her all the time. And I know you have guys look at things differently sometimes. You have some guys and some women nowadays, but, you know, I can hit it
right.
and quit it. You're not doing good for yourself, because then you might get to a point where, dang, I'm hitting all these women, and I, at some point I definitely want to settle down, but I'm cheating with this person over here, and I might have a good woman, but why can't I? Because you're messing up the natural design of things. You're going to have to do some healing. This will give guys to say, okay, I'm loving this woman, but I can still cheat over here. That's wrong.
Right. You're going to have all these emotions for all these people, and it's like, okay, almost like The Bachelor. Which one do I choose?
Mm-mm.
Who does that? That's another story. That's another story from another day. It's like he's in the, or she or whatever, they're having all these, no, that's not, they should not have that show. I'm sorry, plain and simple. That's just me. But,
yeah, I agree with you all that kissing
story.
All these people like that.
Yeah.
Remember, it's Texas. No, go ahead.
No, I mean, it's just, there's too many. You feel for this person, then you feel for that person, then you got to choose. It's like, that's not how you're supposed to have a relationship. You know,
yeah.
trying to find love in all the wrong, right, in other places. That's basically what the song should be. Because it's just like, if God is going to send you someone, like I said earlier, they're going to send them to you. You know, quit looking
yeah.
for stuff. God will send you your mate. God will send you the person that is for you.
And you have to do some work, too. I'm not saying you sit in your house and say, okay, I'm waiting. Like when you're looking for a job, I'm praying for a job.
Right.
Now, don't get me wrong. Don't put God in a box. There's times where you might go to the store,
right.
talk to some, meet somebody, and hey, it's all you wrote. Or you might have someone that comes to the door that's selling you something, and that might be the person, but that's not everybody's story. You definitely have to do the work
right.
for yourself. And then also,
mm-hmm.
like they say, become the person that you want to attract. Become the person that you
That's
want
correct.
To be with.
That
you can't
correct.
Want a person
I mean,
to have
know.
All this and that. And I'm not talking. And to me, I mean, I'm changing just a little bit. The high quality, this is society's mess. High quality is not because a man has a lot of money or a woman has a lot of money. High quality has to do with, a balance. Of having your purpose, having your vision, working within it, having good character. Are they responsible? Are they loyal? Are they caring? How are the communication
mm-hmm.
skills? And even if some of these things aren't
right.
the best, are they willing to work on it? Are they willing
right.
to change and not just say it and then show a little bit and not put in the work? All these different things
leave.
Are important. A high-quality man to me is not one who, I'm sorry, some of these people who are, I don't know these people personally, but some of these people who are celebrities and some that aren't, because they make a lot of money, to me they're not high quality.
they have high, a lot of finances, but doesn't mean that they have high quality, especially the ones that's you know, cheating. Like when they talked about Russell with Sierra and her and then her baby daddy. Because this man is making his wife happy, she has a smile on her face, and because she's making her husband happy, that he's a mm-hmm. simp? Are they ridiculous? Are they kidding me? To me, a simp is the opposite. Someone who doesn't have that balance. Someone who can't be open and transparent. That has nothing to do with being a man. If you can't be open, if you can't show someone tender, loving care, you can show someone tender, loving care and still be assertive. Not aggressive, assertive. There's a difference between
right.
confidence and arrogance. Mm-hmm. Arrogance, no. Confidence, yes. Confidence, I know I'm good at what I do. There might be someone that's just as good or better, but it doesn't take away from how great I am. Arrogance, I'm better than
right.
anyone. Nobody's greater than me. And when you find someone's greater than you, you have a fit. You act like a child. And, you know, to me, that's arrogance.
And, I mean, and he waited. Didn't he wait for his wife?
I know he was married before. He was married before.
Mm-hmm.
And then him
mm-hmm.
and Sierra got married. So I don't know everything about
okay.
it except, you know. But mm-hmm. and I think to my understanding from what I was hearing is that he was even giving money for his helping to raise Sierra's son. And I think mm-hmm. her son sees his father future. He's, anyways, Sierra's sons have siblings, you know, and he futures other kids. And I think he's helping to put money away for his sons, brothers, and sisters. And some people are
okay,
thinking, oh,
okay.
he's being played. How's he being played if his wife is treating him in the right way? I'm pretty sure she's being respectful.
And they love
each other. She's being submissive. She's being respectful. You know, I don't even
mm-hmm.
know if we talked about submission. We're not going to talk about it today, but that's a whole other thing. I don't
uh-huh.
think we ever talked about submission. We need to go into that another day, yeah. But just going back to this stuff.
Right, and as we're talking, we have a couple of new callers. The first one is, the last four is 8125. If you would identify yourself and let us know where you're calling from, please.
Yeah, my name's Joe from Montana. Can you hear me?
Hey, Joe, how are you doing today?
Okay. I want to dovetail.
And then we have...
Hold on. Okay.
And then we also have a caller 6050. If you would please identify yourself and let us know where you're calling from.
Yeah, this is Patrick.
Hey, Patrick,
from
how are you?
I'm doing all right.
Hey, I'm glad you called. You guys.
Yeah, hello. How
like
you guys
the last
doing?
20 minutes.
So
we appreciate the man's view. We appreciate you guys calling in because you guys always make this so interesting. Thank you, thank you, thank you for calling in.
Yes,
so,
we want to hear from them, definitely.
So, yes, we want to hear the man's view. And so I know
okay.
Joe, he always calls in. He's so funny.
Yeah.
Joe from Montana called in. And so
yeah.
you want to go ahead. Did you hear anything about what we talked about?
I want to dovetail over what your co-host was talking about with relationships. Now, what I'd like to know is this. If a man and a woman are married, they've been married, let's say, about 6 years. They're about 26 and 25, respectively. Now, the woman falls out of love because the man, for whatever reason, has been disappointing her over the years. Hasn't been abusing her. She just thinks he's not the man that she's married. If they go to a relationship counselor, what kind of advice do you think that the counselor could give her or him to rekindle the love in the marriage again?
I think first they need to probably look to see what the real problem is. If she's saying she's falling out of love, there might be something that's going on with her, maybe, or maybe there might be something in the marriage. So I think they just need to unpack, you know, what's going on with her and then, you know, and then what's his viewpoint on it. And once they figure out what the real problem is, then they can begin to, you know, probably give them assignments and different of ways of trying to enhance their relationship.
Well, yeah, well, that makes sense. You have to find out exactly what the problems might be. Well, let's say in the marriage, the man doesn't pay the bills. He even leaves the cap off the toothpaste. He arrives late coming home. she suspects that he's cheating, but she finds out he's really not. Sometimes he seems like he's too involved with work at home to be involved with her. In any case, it's added up over the 5 or 6 years that they've been married. She is, again, she just doesn't think that he's the man that she married. He may have disappointed her in other ways. He may be decent in the bedroom, perhaps not terrific. But in any case, she no longer wants to be married to him. He wants to be married to her. So it's just a case of general disappointment. Nothing major, just a bunch of cumulative things added up. So what do you think would be good advice?
I think first to tell her that the man that she's been married to for 26 years is definitely not the man she married at the beginning.
No. Married only about 5 or 6 years. No.
Okay.
They're about 26 and 25. About 5 or 6 years they've been married.
Okay, I'll say the person that she married the first year to the 6th year of marriage is definitely not the same person. He's in mm-hmm. there somewhere, but he's not the same. Because with life, with him growing, because think about it, if you're like 26 and you add, 5 years, he's like, 31 or something like that, you're different in your 20s than you are. Yeah. So I think first, you know, having a conversation with the couple first to get, you know, take some notes, then individually with each person to see, you know, what's going on with them individually. And then, you know, talking to them to see what does a good relationship look like to you, you know, to the man, what does a good relationship look like to the lady. And then, you know, see that they have those conversations. And maybe she might say, oh, I just want him to do better, or I want him to pay attention. You have to be specific about what you mean by pay attention. You can have a man that he can say, okay, I pay attention. I'm in the house with her. I don't leave. You need to explain, okay, you know, I want to go out to restaurants, or I want to sit and have conversation. I want him to just listen to me, or I want him to have, you know, mutual conversation. Sometimes we're not as detailed, and we can assume people should know, but they're not going to always know. People are individual. Plus, generally speaking, men have a certain way how they are, and women have a certain way of how they are, even though they're individual. There's variations of how can I say it? Even though within men there's different thought processes, within women there's different processes, thought processes. But also, as a male or female, there's some generalizations that we have. So I think, you know, getting and
okay,
then if you're talking
now
about
let's say,
yeah,
right. But to boil this down, let's say I'm the wife. You're the relationship
mm-hmm.
counselor. You've taken me aside, and you've asked me what seems to be the problem. Let's say my name is Mary. And I say,
mm-hmm.
well, like I said, he hasn't been paying the bills on time for a while. He gets home late. He hasn't been paying attention to me when we have arguments. He seems to be somewhere else. When he comes home from work, he seems to be a little bit too involved with his work at times. I don't care now if he arrives on time. I don't care if he's paying more attention to me now. I don't care if he knows how to resolve arguments. I don't want to be married to him anymore.
Okay. Well, you know, you talk to her and see, have you said this information to him? And say, yeah, I've told him. Maybe she's yelled at it, whatever, this and that. And then actually maybe talk to the husband to see what's going on with him as far as, you know, him working. And, you know, he's going to have an explanation of, you know, I'm working a lot more. Maybe he's stressed out of his job. You know, maybe money is not like it. The business is not going like he thought it is going, should be going. So maybe that's why there's less money. He's not able to, maybe he's robbing Paul to pay Peter. You know, maybe he hasn't had that conversation with his wife because he doesn't want her to worry and he's supposed to be the breadwinner. Who knows? You have that. She needs to have a conversation. The therapist needs to have a conversation with the husband at some point by himself to see what's going on with him, and then see if he's spoken to his wife. And if he hasn't, and he's like, "Oh, I don't want to talk to her because this and this and that," then at some point with the therapist, he can talk to his wife, you know, about certain things if he feels okay to do so. In the meantime, she also needs to talk to the wife separately and see how does she want it to look and what. What's going on to where she no longer wants to be married, and, you know, just have those conversations with her and really get down to the bottom of what her problem is.
Well,
so
that's
if these
line.
Things were
the bottom line, is
yeah,
And the bottom line is she doesn't want to be married to him, no matter even if he changes. She's found out. You're right. Let's say in the first year he's changed. He no longer has any kind of spark. He's okay in bed, but not especially good in bed. I don't look forward to touching him. I don't want him to touch me. Not that he's repulsive. I just don't love him anymore. I don't want to be married to him.
So basically she fell out of love with him.
Yes. And it might,
that's
if she maybe has, or it might be, or the thing is, some people say that and mean it, and some people, there's other things that they're hurt about, and it's a, they just say it. You understand? Because you have people who say they're out of love with each other, and sometimes they get divorced, and you have some that can find their way back to each other. And it might just be because of all those things happening, she's put a wall up, and she says, okay, I don't love you anymore. It may be true, but it might not be true. I mean, a therapist can't
I don't love him. I don't care if he does change. When I'm with him in the car, I don't care about being with him in the car. Like I say, he's not repulsive. He's not even in the friend zone. I don't want to be married to him anymore.
And I hear what you're saying, but go ahead.
Can I answer that? Because that's how my first marriage was. I just fell out of, it's just like I didn't love him anymore. I just didn't. He was, like you say, he wasn't repulsive, nice looking man. But it's just like there was no spark, no fire, no nothing. We communicated. I just fell out of love with him. I just like, I'm done. I'm just done. Because there was nothing left to even rekindle.
There had to be something that happened that made you begin to turn that. There's some things that happened that went down.
There was. Mm-hmm. There was.
And so maybe, not now, of course, but I'm saying the therapist to get to the bottom of what it was. And then sometimes it's not brought to that person's attention. Even though you might say it, if it's not detailed enough, that they might not get it, you know? And sometimes someone else has to explain it to them. You might have to have like a therapist or a third party. All you can do is the therapist can do their best to talk to the husband separately, talk to the wife separately, and be in there when they both talk together and give them, you know, different strategies and see. But ultimately, it's between the couple if the couple's decision if they stay together.
Can I ask
and
her
we
a
did
question?
Go to
no,
two
course.
Different therapists. You can. But yeah, we did
oh, yeah,
go
you
to
have
two
another
different
call
therapists. Oh, no, that was me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Joe, but yeah. I know. Does Patrick want to answer?
No, I wanted to ask a question. Why did you marry him in the first place?
I loved him. He seemed to be a lot of fun.
No, not
long.
For you. Sorry, Joe. Sorry, Joe.
Oh, okay.
This is for the lady that just said that she divorced her
hostess. Oh, okay.
Sorry.
All right.
So I just want to know why she married her husband in the first place. What was the reason why she married him?
Well, we loved each other. We were married for 9 years and 9 days, and then he got married 2 weeks after we got divorced. So he went to someone else anyway.
But you married him because, okay,
we were
because
in love.
You loved him.
We loved each other. Yes, we loved each other. Yes, we did. We had a wonderful daughter.
Well,
We grew apart, basically. He of course, did something that he shouldn't have done, but on a few occasions, but it's like, I'm done. I'm just done.
That probably was the part of it, whatever he did that started the, for what he did, he doesn't care about me, so no, I'm at that point where I'm not caring about him.
Basically, yeah, it's like, hey, I'm done. I was done. I can do bad by myself.
Forgivable. Yeah. Mhm.
Correct.
That'll do it.
Now here's why I ask the questions is because I don't believe that when a relationship gets down to the end, that any relationship counselor, psychiatrist, psychologist can actually give any kind of advice to particular types of marriages when the wife or the husband just thinks of the spouse as a roommate, and if the psychologist asks ask them. Well, if they did what was inspiring in the very beginning of the relationship, how would you feel? And if the wife or the husband says, I don't care, they are not who I thought they were. They showed me they're not abusive, they're not burglars, that you can trust them. But to be with them is to be bored to death. And a marriage, if you're bored with your spouse and nothing seems to relieve that boredom, and plus that husband or that wife just seems to have fallen off the pedestal, I believe that there's no advice that you can give those kind of people to rekindle the marriage.
I mean, I think at some point, I think it depends on if people are willing, if they're willing to open their heart to see. But that's why it's also important to check in with each other, you know, throughout the marriage to see how each other's doing, have those times to check in, you know, and to have those pillow talks, and even before the pillow talks, to see how each other's doing, or, you know, I noticed that you're down, or, you know, what's going on, or it's important to always have that communication, those talks. You can't just have the hard conversations before you before you marry. You have to have them also when you're within the marriage.
Because throughout the whole relationship.
You make of it. Yeah, you do.
Well,
you
that's the assumption, again, that brings in the old canard that communication is the key. It's not the key. People communicate all the time, verbally and non-verbally. If your spouse is sitting next to you and she doesn't look at you, and he doesn't look at you anymore, when you hold hands, there isn't any grasping of the hand with any real kind of pressure. When you have conversations, the conversations aren't spirited like they used to be before. When you go to bed, it's more or less the time to go to bed because it's that particular time of night. It's wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, or thank you, sir. And it's on her, on him, and off her. When it comes down to that, again, I don't believe there's any kind of recommendation that can be said that will repair that kind of marriage when the marriage just seems to be yuck, no more. I don't care what he does. I don't care what she does. I don't want to be married.
For some, it may be. For some, it may be, you know. And that makes me think about, we were talking about, you know, abstaining, we were talking about purity, and when you were saying the wham, bam, you know, I know you're talking about within a marriage, but it makes me think of how we're saying, how we talked about researchers and how in the Bible, as far as, you know, waiting to get to know someone before you have sex, actually waiting till marriage. We talked about chemicals being released and oxytocin being released, the cuddle hormone. And when you're doing that and you have these feelings of caring and trust and deep affection and you haven't really gotten a chance to know this person, then it can be problematic. It can be very problematic. Because every time you have sex, your body has, you know, that chemical reaction of cleaving. And that's meant for intimacy at a biological level. So researchers have proven that God's design for intimacy is that it's best between a husband and wife with no, you know, other partners. It's just God's desire the thing is, people think, oh, God doesn't like sex. No, he created it. You know, God desires for us to experience sex at its best. If you look at Proverbs 5:19, they talk about the physical encounter that is satisfying and intoxicating. And that is with a husband and wife, because when those chemicals are released and you have that bond with that person that you are tied together with, that you've gotten a chance to know, that you've asked the hard questions, that you don't use sex as a distraction to where you forget about the red flags, then it can be beautiful and wonderful. Remember, we looked at the research that says when people wait till marriage, a lot of times their relationships are a lot more satisfying sexually, a lot better communication, and have a strong relationship, because we talked about that friendship is the part that people are missing. Because when you're breaking and you're going to a relationship, breaking and going to a relationship, you mess up the natural rhythm of how things are supposed to be. And we see that now today. There's people who are saying, okay, well, you know what, I have this going on in my life, the men, I have this going on in my life, the women, but I don't want to be married, but I want to have this person that I want to be with whenever I want, and they have sex with them. And then they don't want to be around them anymore. Then they have sex with them. They haven't built that strong relationship, that strong foundation. I get it. Some people don't want to be married. That's fine. But But people do want to have that connection with someone. At some point, you want to have that. Yes, you want to have friends and you have family, but at some point, you want to have that person to share your life with. And we do it God's. We don't do it God's way. That's why we have these all these baby mamas, baby daddies. That's why you have all these people suicidal and depressed and I don't know what's wrong with me. They've hit rock bottom, and now you have all these people practicing abstinence, and they're seeing the benefits of it. They're getting, they're healing, they're having the conversations, they're building the friendships, they're getting healed before they get into these relationships and becoming in their new relationships as a better version of who they are.
A whole person.
So we talked about we talked about abstaining. Of course, it's you know God says to be plentiful. We know that. And the thing is, you want to do it while you're married because children should have a mother and father in the house, but it should be a healthy relationship. I'm not saying one that's not healthy. A healthy relationship. You can be the great, the best, you know, mother on the weekends or father on the weekends, but it's not the same as having them in the house. And I know sometimes it's not possible, but that's why we have to think. Some people are thinking, let me get with this, sleep with this man, sleep with this woman. Oh, I'm just having fun. If you can't think of yourself
and studies. I was talking to somebody who studied, did some research into that, and he found that if a woman has six partners before they meet the seventh person, could be they can marry the seventh person or the seventh man could be the boyfriend. If they've had six, let's say a little bit more than six or seven, that the oxytocin doesn't come in as strongly as it used to. And as a result, there is no intimacy. But let's say there's an extreme lack of intimacy from the sixth and seventh partner on, which means that the girl is like used goods, even if she's not promiscuous, as a result of this biology. Whether or not that research is true, whether or not he misinterpreted it, I don't know. That's what I heard.
No, I believe it to be true because they were talking about when I was looking at the papers and I talked about it earlier, they were talking about the breaking coming together. You, that bond, you no longer have that bond that you need to have. There was, I can't remember, I was watching, I think it was YouTube or something, or I think, I can't remember if I was watching Redefined TV on YouTube or I was watching R.C. Blake's, and they were saying some of these ladies, they had been, were in bad relationships. They eventually, you know, got married to a wonderful man, and they could not really relate to their husband like they need to sexually because of their past relationships, because of those sexual relationships. And so it does, you know, it does affect us, and it does, you know, damage us to a certain degree.
Well,
it's
I'm not
just women,
yeah,
it's
I'm not
men
talking,
too.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm not talking about the fact that the past relationships stay in our memories, and as a result, we may project onto our current relationship what happened in the past. I'm talking about the biological aspect of if a woman, again, I don't know if this is true, if a woman has had six or seven partners prior to meeting, let's say the seventh or the eighth one, it doesn't matter how wonderful the guy is, she is biologically incapable of actually producing the kind of intimacy and nurturing that's supposed to be there for the relationship. Okay.
Yes, yeah, so I talked about it earlier. So when we have multiple partners, scientifically, when we bond and break repeatedly, we lose our ability to properly bond. So yes, yep, that happens.
Oh, okay.
And and Patrick, I know Patrick is out there, and he want to have a question. You want to ask your question, Patrick?
No. I'm just listening. I'm listening to the conversation.
You said you had a question.
He asked you the question. He already asked you the question.
Oh, that was him who asked me the question. Oh, okay. Okay. You know, I'm sorry. I thought that Joe had asked me the question. Okay. All right. So, yeah, I did. I'm sorry. So, I'm glad y'all know who was talking because I just answered the question. And so, all right. I know
it sounds like what we're saying now is that with men, I mean, that men need to take a woman's past, her sexual past, into account when choosing a mate. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, we're talking about not having sex until marriage. That's what we're talking about.
Oh, not having
because
sex.
That bond, that bond doesn't need to happen until because what happens is, remember
right.
it talked about that, yeah.
But I think that's what you're saying. You're saying if a woman has multiple partners before she gets married, sometimes that seeps into the relationship and affects the marriage. Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, that bond, but it's not just the women, it's the men too.
Okay.
It's for both.
So
yeah.
So
I didn't hear anything.
So we need to take the sexual history of both men and women into account when we choose a mate, choose somebody that we want to settle down with. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's not necessarily what I'm saying. I mean, if you want to do that, you can. I mean, but what it's saying that we have to be careful ourselves when we're talking about, you know, that we want to get married. We want to make sure that we are careful of our temple, that we're taking care of our temple. So it's saying that if we're in and out of relationship, having sex with this one, then having sex with that one, you know, even if, say, if somebody might say, well, I don't have sex with everybody every other year, when I'm in a relationship, I'm with them. Maybe I've been in a relationship for 5 years. Then another 5 years I get with someone else. Well, you're having bonds with these people. You're having soul ties, which you really didn't talk about. And so the thing is, you want to wait until you get married. Now, say, okay, I've been doing it all this time. Well, it doesn't mean that you can't stop. Heal yourself. It doesn't mean that you can't stop and decide to say, I'm going to be abstinent and I'm going to wait. You can do that. You can begin to do that because it can affect your relationships later. A woman just like it can for a man. Because God's
right.
designed
well, let me ask,
for
let me,
us to...
Let me answer Michael's question because your answer and his question are compatible. His question, to give the short answer, is everybody should take into account what the sexual history is. Because if it's true that people, men and women, now I haven't heard about any kind of study with relationships to men having that biological deficiency, but I've always thought that if a woman had 5, 6, or 7, 8, or 9 boyfriends by the time she was 30, that wouldn't bother me at all. That would just seem to me a normal part of life. But if we have to take into account then what the sexual history is, because as you're saying, and as the study supposedly bears out, is that when you have a bond, and you break the bond, go to another bond, break that bond, go to another bond, you are no longer capable of bonding the way that you should. So we have to take into account what the sexual history is.
Exactly.
I agree, and I did say it, I agree with that. At first, I did say that wasn't my focus. I do hear what you're saying in that, but I was just looking at the big picture of it and saying that we have to. That's important, but we have to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves individually. Because we might have a person that says, "Oh, well, dang, he doesn't want to be with me because I've had so many people," or "She doesn't want to be with me because I had so many people." And most of the time, it's women who say that, but. Yeah, you might have had all these people, but now you need to stop. You should have stopped before then, but now you need to stop, and you need to really look at what's going on, and you need to now start abstaining because you're creating these bonds with these people, and you're not married to these people. You're not going to be with them long-term, and it's problematic. So I shouldn't have said no. It's true what you guys are saying. But I guess maybe I looked at it in a different way.
Yeah.
I guess I looked at it as some people saying, oh, and you didn't say this. I guess my thought process was like, well, she had 9 or 10 partners. I might not want to be with her.
That may not be a bad thing.
Go ahead, Mike.
That may not be a bad thing. Think about it. Listen, that's risk management. You're talking about getting married to somebody for the rest of your life. We're talking about sharing resources and all of this. If that's part of risk management, I don't necessarily see that as a bad thing. I think people get emotional over these things like that, and we've all made our choices, right? And like you said, certain people need to watch out how we live our lives and the things that we do because they have an effect. So if somebody took care, if a woman out there took care of herself to that extent to where she didn't have as many partners and she felt she was ready, why get with a guy who had 250 partners? I mean, it would be risk management for her to take that into account. You know, no matter how good he looked or how much money he made or anything like that, it would be prudent for her to take that into account when trying to decide on whether she should get into a relationship with this person. I think that's what, and vice versa with men. I think there's nothing wrong with that. I think for a young person, that, based on the studies from what I'm hearing, that's good advice as far as choosing a mate.
I don't want you to think I don't want you to think that I'm saying it's not important, because I guess I'm what I'm thinking and what I'm saying maybe are different. I'm saying that the overall picture, whether you had 2 or 3 or 50 million, you have to come to a point where, you know, where, look, we need to be protecting our temple. We don't need to be doing that. That's my point.
I understand.
Right.
You walked
right.
into it. You didn't mean to walk into this, but you walked into it.
No, that's fine. That's fine. And I get it.
Like,
somebody who's had 100, like someone, who's that guy who was a porn star or something? I know it, most people aren't porn stars, had so many women, and you had a woman who had maybe 2 or 3 people, she might not want to be with him. I get that, and that's understandable. And I definitely get that.
But here's the general overall picture. In today's society, since about the 60s and the 70s, you are not going to, again, the research that you're talking about, who knows if it applies to men? Yeah, there have been studies that have shown that if people do not have relationships before marriage, the marriage lasts longer and is happier. But outside of that, if a man is looking for a woman, let's say he's only 29, 30, and he wants to settle down. For all practical purposes, there isn't a woman in America that he can settle down with. Because most women, 98%, are going to have 6 sex partners by the time they're 30, because they're naturally curious, they're naturally going to be turned on by the men that they meet, and they're going to indulge in that behavior. But if that behavior has created within them a biological resistance to intimacy, then maybe that explains why the relationships don't really work out today.
Yeah, and that's what we were saying. We were talking about, because the thing is, and we were talking about, that's part of the problem that we're saying. If you look at long time ago, they were saying a lot. Now, some people still have sex, but a long time ago, a lot of times you don't have sex until you get married, and a lot of the relationships lasted because they had intimacy in a different way. They had a chance to really vet and talk and see what this person is about. But nowadays, so many are just jumping in the bed, and they're not really seeing who the true person is. And then once, you know, after the honeymoon stage, you're like, who is he? Oh, who is she? And, oh, all people are bad. All men are bad. All women are bad. No, cling. Like they say, there's a thing called Redefine TV, and it's called, I think, legs closed, zippers up. We can't just talk to our women. We have to talk to our guys, too. You know, we need to really get to know each other and really build these families, because our kids are hurting. We got too many baby mamas and daddies out here. It's problematic.
Mm-hmm.
We got to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
We have to. And so then we talked about. Go ahead.
And as we were saying earlier, when we were
right.
younger, we only had your parents only had like one partner. They only had, you know, and they lasted what, 80 years? They lasted for forever. You know, because that was their one love. That was their only love. That was the only one. You only been with one person? Yeah, and I love that one person. Why can't I just have one person? I don't need to be promiscuous. I don't need to be going soul searching or, you know, smelling out the roses when the weeds are dry. Why do I need to do that? I mean, if I'm happy with my one rose, I'm happy with my one rose. I don't need to go out there and get some dandelions and what have you. So people still do that. They're just far and few in between. And I love the person who can handle the abstinence. I mean, it's like, okay, they're a strong person. And nothing's wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. So it's like we just need to be strong people. But I know
and
when I had answered the question earlier,
Right. Yeah. When I had answered the question earlier about, you know, why I didn't, you know, stay with the person I was with, who was going to answer the question? Was that Patrick or Joe?
I think it was Patrick, I think.
Yeah.
That was Patrick who asked the question.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So Joe was gonna answer. I'm sorry if I had cut you off, but yeah,
I was
gonna answer.
Yeah.
No, but you were gonna, you know, you were gonna answer, and I'm sorry if I, you know, because they said, asking her.
No,
okay. But we do have. Go ahead.
So there's a woman, a former editor and former magazine writer for Cosmopolitan back in the 70s. And she came out recently and apologized to women because she wrote a lot of fake news articles for Cosmopolitan. She apologized to women because her job was propaganda to sell women on the idea that sexual liberation is the path to single woman's personal fulfillment. And she said the propaganda was very sophisticated. It's half-truth, selected truth, and truth out of context. And she said it was used not just to sell products, but it's also used, she wrote, to sell ideas. And she said mainly it was because of the corporations wanted the money from the women because the women were in such, you know, large number, women going out working and all of this, you know, free sex and all this kind of stuff. She was saying how she was part of the whole propaganda to get women to buy into that. Single motherhood, promiscuous, you can have it all, working, you don't need the man in the house, all that kind of stuff. And she recently came out and apologized and wrote an article about it.
So basically you're saying she was paid to pimp women?
Yep.
In essence? Okay.
Yep.
And we do have another caller.
Was her last name Brown?
Yes. Sue Ellen Browder.
Was her last name Brown? Because there was a famous...
And that's sad that some women, that many women fail for that, you know. And I think it comes a lot out of hurt and pain and things that they've gone through. So, I don't need anyone to let me uplift. You can uplift yourself, but because... we cannot have our families without the men. The men can't have their families without the women, you know? And so it's oh, my gosh.
And, Stephanie, we do have another caller that just joined us with the last four of 1648. If you want to identify yourself and let us know where you're calling from, please.
Hello. I'm calling from PA.
And who do we have the pleasure of having with us?
I didn't even know I was live. I thought I was just listening to the show. I didn't even know I was actually joining in with y'all. But since I'm already here, I'll just go ahead and talk. Oh, I'm Jay.
Okay. Thank you, Jay. Go ahead if you'd like to comment.
Thank you.
No, I literally just started listening to the panel. So I was just listening in on the conversation. But because it's evolving relationships, and I'm like, damn. I'm in like five different relationships right now. Should I actually speak on this shit or should I just keep
Yes.
Right.
You want to. That's fine.
That we're glad you called in. You are exactly the type of person we need to hear from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm in five different I'm not sure exactly what questions y'all would have for me because, like I said, I was just bouncing around listening to different shows. I ain't been on this website in a while, so... I mean, I don't know if y'all had questions that y'all wanted to ask me per se, but I'm open to it.
I have one.
Go ahead.
You're with more than one particular tribe. Is that what I heard you say?
Right.
You said five.
Yeah.
Okay, five. And how is that working out for you with
five women
not finding out about each other?
No, they already know about each other. That's the thing. Like, I made it clear to every woman that I talk to when I meet them. I made it clear to all of them, letting them know, hey, listen, in all honesty, I'm not the faithful type. Like, I suggest for them not to take it too far with me, but they plan on, they insist on doing it because they believe in their mind that they can possibly change me. So I let them go ahead and, I mean, you can try, but I don't think you're going to get too far with it. But I'm letting you know that I'm dating other women outside of you. I don't want you to take me serious. Even though I'm a caring individual, I'll provide a listening ear throughout the day. Whenever you need me, we talk and we comfort, I comfort you, everything, even supply or provide for you too if need be. But outside of that, you know, I don't want you getting emotionally attached. Go ahead.
Okay.
So what made you decide?
But the thing is, but you know what? A lot of men don't do that, and I just appreciate him, you know, coming forward saying, "Hey, you are not the only one." So, you know, they can try to change you, but it's like you have to change yourself. You can't let nobody change you. You can't. No woman could change a man, and no man could change a woman. No matter how hard they try, they can try, but at least you are letting them know. So they know where you stand, which is a good thing, because a lot of times I'll have Joe on one side of town, then I'll have Jimmy on the other side of town, I'll have Frank on that side of town, I'll have John on the other side of town, and then oops, you know, all of a sudden everybody's at the same place. It's like you just got to try and move. But as long as these women know that you are out there, you know, and they are not the only one, that's a good thing. It's not a right thing, but it's a good thing. Correct me if I'm wrong, Stephanie.
Now how old are you, may I ask?
38.
Okay. So you're still young. Okay, so you still can still do that because you're in that age bracket where you have time to make a decision whether or not you want to really get married. Now, let me look. You, I got to break in on this one because this is how I feel. I'm a female, okay, but I'm not gonna have no 5 men at one time, okay? But I know that I'm not the one that wants to get married and do all that. I'm not that one. So I appreciate him being honest and saying he is
right.
Ready for that. But are you saying it because you're young, or are you saying it because you know in your heart that you're just not the marrying type? You know, you have your goals, you have your business, you have what you want to do, and that's your focus. Your focus is not married, having babies, and settling down and doing all of that. So are you saying to us that you have made this decision for the rest of your life that you're not going to get married, you're not going to settle down with one woman?
Yeah, I made that decision because it would be useless on my part to engage in any kind of marriage or even engage in a commit in a marriage knowing that I'm not going to be faithful. Like, it's, you're setting yourself up for failure, not just on her part, but on your part too, because you knew going in that you had no desire to be, you know, 100% committed or devoted to one person. So why even step outside? Why even entertain the idea of marrying somebody knowing that they're not going to be the only one? And see, I know that about me. This is why I'm not dealing with the marriage. Not because, I'm shaking up about it. I don't. It's because of my lifestyle. I prefer to live my life this way. Mm-hmm. And I would never get married to nobody because I know that they'll be wasting their time easily with me.
So what made you Have you always been this way, or what made you, have you always been this way where you were always with different women, or have you?
I used to be faithful at once upon a time in my 20s until I had a couple bad experiences, and then I started shifting gears on being faithful to going from dating one woman to dating multiple women, and I started comparing the difference. Like, but damn, I actually like it better, you know, dating multiple women, because you got multiple different personalities. You got multiple different personalities, and I get to enjoy them as long as I'm up front and letting them know exactly where I stand before we move forward. Then I don't have to hold myself accountable or feel like I got to sneak off or sneak around. You understand? It's much better for me because I can live my life to be free.
And when you hold on real quick, and when you do that, because I mean, you have the thing is, even though it's not right, you told them and they decided to be with you. And you told me that this wasn't you before, and because you've gotten hurt. And a lot of times when people go through hurt and pain, they don't want to – it's difficult. Nobody wants their heart hurt again. So
when you have different women, you don't have to put that heart out there. You don't have to feel.
See, the thing is, it's not, it's about you. I don't have to feel, but like I said, the key thing that stands out is when you try one thing, and this is a side of me that I've never experienced before, like actually dating multiple women and going out with different women. I've never did that. I've never been a fan of that. I've always liked to stick to one. But once I got cheated on a couple times, I said, you know what, I'm just going to be free. And I'm going to just start talking to different women. I'm not necessarily going to take relationships as a whole, like where it's just one person focusing on one person. I'm not going to move in that direction anymore. I'm going to try something different. But it just so happened when I started dating multiple women, I liked the idea of doing it. I liked the lifestyle, so I stuck with it. You understand?
When you compare
the difference between having one and having multiple, like I've never, ever, ever thought that I would have this much enjoyment. And usually you're supposed to do things that put a smile on your face. This lifestyle just so happens to provide that kind of satisfaction for me. So in anything that you decide, but that's just in anything, whatever you decide to do, like I said, if you love what you do, just stick with it. I love what I'm doing right now, and I'm sticking with it. I'm out of the five women that I'm dating, I'm only having sex with one. All the rest of them is just casual.
Do you see yourself having more women and adding more to it? Do you see yourself adding more?
As many that are comfortable.
There's a void there that's not being filled. There's a void there. Listen, the thing is, we should not allow someone to take our power. You used to be faithful, and you're choosing not to. That's on you. But because of those problem relationships that happen, and when they cheat on you, and you are faithful. Those were obviously the wrong women. And so because you're acting in a different way, that's not you, let them have your power to change your whole being because of that hurt. And you're doing yourself a disservice. You really are.
No. Don't put that type of energy out there because that's not necessarily how it is. What it comes down to is what makes you happy. You understand? Your happiness is what you're supposed to put forward first, not looking
but
at the logical part.
But you're constantly pulling new women in. You're not satisfied. You're constantly pulling new women in.
You're making the statements based on what you hear, but you're not understanding where I'm coming from. When I say I'm happy, I am happy. You calling it out as a disservice because that's the way you see it through your lens, which I can understand. But at the same time, this is what, because if you was in my position, you would look at it as a disservice. It's understandable. But the reality is you still have to conform to what makes you happy in the end, regardless of what you want to call a disservice or not. You still have to conform to what puts a smile on Jay's face, what puts a smile on Tiffany's face, what puts a smile on Kiara's face. Whatever you decide to do, it got to be, regardless of the world disagree with it, if it makes you happy, can't nobody rise up against it. But this is what makes me happy.
You have to remember, like he said, he's only having an intimacy with one person. So the other women, he enjoys being around them. He enjoys their
there's a cause and effect for everything.
But now, if he decides to do more than one woman, with I hearing him and understanding what he's saying, I don't think he's going to do that unless he feels that he's going to take a whole other level to this. I think he's still being that respectful man that he grew up to be.
Correct.
He has one relationship that's more than the others, but he's just been hurt. And it's not something that he wants to do right now. Maybe as he gets older and life changes, you know, but there's nothing wrong with what he's saying in my book, okay? So I'm just very proud to hear somebody actually want to say it and people really hear it and mean it and not take it as it's dirty, it's wrong, he's not being a gentleman, he's not being respected. And I feel that he's being more of a gentleman than a lot of men.
The fact that he's telling the women up front, I can respect that he's telling the women up front. But, and I'm not trying to say, oh, he's dirty or this and that. I'm just saying, but when he's telling me how it started before, how then he got hurt, so he decided, oh, nobody's hurting me anymore. I'm doing this, and I'm having fun doing it. It's still some things going on there, regardless if we want to say it or not.
No, but that's what I'm trying to explain. When you paint that kind of picture, you make it seem as though this is still lingering. But see, you would have to be me in order to know fully that that don't exist. I can understand what makes you tick, but you got to understand this too. I can't paint a narrative and tell you exactly what's still lingering in your heart because I'm not you. I can't do that for you. I can only go based off what you're telling me. And what I'm telling you is the narrative you're painting right now is I can tell there's still some lingering something there when it's not. I just simply told you, let me try something else and see, and just to see, you know, how it turned out. And it just so happened that I started liking this lifestyle, so I stuck with it. Meaning there is nothing there is no void to fill. I don't need nothing. There's no void for me to fill
I heard what you said, but what I'm saying, that's why I asked you the question before, and we might agree, disagree, which is okay. But I'm saying you were not like this before. And you said when they cheated on you, that's when you decide to try it and you liked it. So if you were with a person who wasn't cheating on you, you probably wouldn't be this person. So that's what I'm saying.
Of course.
Affecting and that's all I'm saying. But, you know, we can
No, but you were saying there was something still lingering.
You're living
like,
in
I'm
your
like,
truth.
Right. But that's what you're supposed to do.
I have a question. My hand's raised. The Joe and the other guy on the line with us, I would like to hear their opinion of this.
No, they're gone. They are gone.
Okay, because that was, I kind of figured that would happen because this is a powerful conversation, but it still has the stigma to it of what society brings to it instead of hearing exactly what Jay was saying, you know. And as a woman's point of view, okay, I'm proud that he would be honest but not want to fornicate with five women. That is what made me understand his clarity. And I have to ask him, if it came down to you fornicating with more than one woman, are you that type of person?
No, I feel nasty if I did that. I can go out with them, enjoy their time, spend time with them.
Thank
we can
you.
Comfort each other. Up and all. But as far as going into a sexual, or that I've had the women that's in my life now wanted to take it there, but I told them, no, I'm only actually engaged in sexual activity with one of the other women that I'm dealing with. I can't do it with you. Not that there's anything wrong with you, but I just feel nasty if I'm sexing up two and three and four women. I don't know. I just can't. I can't wrap my mind around that.
And that's what I hear in you. And so it's just, you know, I'm sure that God has graced you with good looks, has to, for you to be able to do that. And if he gave you the good looks plus the conversation where you're able to feel comfortable around women and women feel comfortable around you, so that's going to draw them to you because you're probably a good listener. And that's what women look for. And so, you know, it's just like, you know, when I was out there doing my stores, you know, getting 24 stores, you know, I found myself always having men, you know, take me to dinner or we just had good conversation. But they knew that I'm here to work, not here to fornicate. You going to your room, I'm going to my room. We can go to movies together if we're in the same area. We can kick it. But other than that, that's all it can be. But you tell them up front. You let them know. And if they enjoy your company, then you're going to have their company. If they want something else, then they're going to go try to find something else.
Yeah, that's
true.
Yeah, that's true. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. But two of them got mad at me because they felt like they started catching feelings, but I brung them back to the conversation that took place when I first met them. I said, listen, I told you it was at your own risk. I wouldn't advise you. Like, talking once in a while it's fine. But you decided, when you decide, anybody that decides to reach out to me and have conversation with me or want to dump all their feelings onto my lap, I have absolutely no problem for that. Available 24 hours a day. I'll stop what I'm doing to provide a listening ear to you, which is what technically all of them that I'm dealing with haven't had that before from no guy. Far as what they've been telling me, oh, it's so different.
Right.
Blah blah blah.
Right.
I can relate to you. Feel like I've been talking to you for years. Like I never had that kind of chemistry. Didn't have no father in my life. So I feel lost. And even with me being in the position that I'm in and dating various women and letting them know that this is what I'm currently doing and I don't want you to get attached, I'm also showing them. I'm also providing a sense of security for them so they can. Choose their options wisely rather than me going into, you know, them making them think that they have a chance with me and me only. You understand that they're finding out later that, you know, I'm dating a whole lot of women at one time. I don't want nobody to feel that or find that out about me, you know, later on in the line. I just want them to know what kind of lifestyle I'm engaging in, and I don't want them to
be. Do you actually use the word dating? Because, see, I would never use that word because that word has such a powerful meaning. I would probably say I'm associating, but I'm not dating.
Yeah, cause I am dating them, and we all have that understanding though. You understand? It is a date because we are emotionally connected. It's just the only thing that takes away from the rest of the four is that there's no sexual one. There's no sexual connection. There is no kind of sex taking place.
So,
but like I said,
Valentine's Day and Easter, all five of them are going to get a bouquet of flowers. Is that what I hear?
Yeah, because I got a budget, right? And I know it on sometimes it's not so much of the cost and things, but it's really the thought that matter. You know, I could put together
exactly.
Something nice and sweet that's inexpensive that would still put a smile on their face. I can take a couple of them, hey, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I won't be available on Valentine's Day, but I want to actually do this for you before Valentine's Day because I'm actually planning on meeting up with the other girl that I'm dating so we can go ahead and do something special. I'm not trying to make you feel like you're out of place, but I want to do this for you. You understand? They go along with it. They all went along with it this past Valentine's Day not long ago. I started setting it up around January. By the time the end of January came, I was already done and got done and over with all four of them. And the only one that I really had to do something really special for was the one that I'm actually sexually active with.
And see, and they
okay,
appreciate
I hope,
that.
I hope, and I would like to personally invite you to shop at doitallinthemall.com.
And the flowers there for sure, and the candy. That's funny. I really appreciate this gentleman because. He is letting them know up front, but yet he still goes out of the way to let the other women know that they are appreciated. And not many people
do
that. And it's like,
right.
I'll give you my address because I want some flowers. No, I'm just messing with you. But
that's not appreciation, though, but the thing is, they decide to stay with him, knowing that he was honest with them. So that is on them. He's honest with them. But if you can't get a person, the whole person, that's really not appreciation because
I'm going to apologize, but I'm going to bring it back to Stephanie because she's right, and we have to remember what really is really up front here. You got these women that are doing what they're doing because they can't find a man on their own. So they're being satisfied with putting up with what you can offer them. With yes,
they're only getting a piece of them.
If it was our daughters, they would be titled as hoochie mamas, hoes, and whatever. Okay, so honestly, I wouldn't want my daughter to be in that situation unless she fully understood, just like I understand what you're saying. But to be real, to the listeners and people that are listening out there, we're not encouraging anyone
to have five women in their lives, 6 and 8. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not even encouraging people who've been married 5 and 6 and 7 times, because after 2, there got to be something wrong. Okay. So, you know, if you want to go for 3, go for 3. But after 3, you don't need to be going 4, 5, 6, 7 like them people on TV. That's just, you know, that's just like, there's got to be something wrong for you to be married that many times and still trying to find somebody at 70, 80 years old. You know, I do want Stephanie to understand. I understand what she's saying, and I know what she's saying is right, because our daughters, you know, we see these women doing these certain types of things, and even if you are being respectful in your eyes, you're really not. And that's why I know I try to not be in that scene anymore where, you know, I'm having 2 and 3 people take me to dinner and things like that. I don't, you know, we can go to dinner, but I'm going to pay for my own, because you're not my man. And I'm not going to have
I think the difference between there's a difference between dating, getting to know people, and going out with different people to see. But when you decide to get in that committed relationship, and I understand he says he's not in a committed relationship, and I get that, and he's upfront with them, I get that too. But even though he might be talking to them in a way that they don't get from other men, they have to realize that they're getting the raw end of the stick, because he's already having women that are falling in love with him, and they're only getting a piece of him. And so that's they're kind of being delusional kind of as far as what this really is. And he told them it's really not anything. I'm listening to you.
That's what I'm saying. The women have a problem. And that's what we need to work on, is how the women are looking at this and doing it. We want to blame the men, but the men have been up front. And that's a lot of times when these women are attacking people in the media. You say he did
this,
but you
can't. Well, you have to look at both, though, because it's not acceptable on either end. Now, as far as him telling them, I get that, and that's that he's telling them, but to be able to want to be able to do this, that's not cool.
To want to be able to have multiple women, or for them to want to be able to be connected to me, knowing that I got other women. What's
your they're not connected to you. It's you with a lot of different women. Now, I understand that them are your girlfriends. I'm saying for them, they're getting the short end of the stick as far as getting a piece of you. They don't have all of you. And then, even though you've told them up front, it's still not right to have all these different women that you know that they're getting emotionally tied to. Now, they can back off, and I get that. But even to have respect enough for them to, like, you know what, I'm not going to juggle these women. That's not cool either.
Yeah, but then you're challenging which direction a man should take, because what you're saying based off of what you're saying right now, what you're saying is it's still not cool for you to have multiple women to court and do different things with. Whereas the million-dollar question should be the women that he's attached to, are these women being led into a dark place of being blindfolded, of being lied to multiple times and told that we're going to be committed to you only for me and there's nobody else? Are these women being told that by this guy or no? Number one. Number two is, if these women are satisfied with the little piece of him that they're getting at the moment, who could be mad at them? If they are satisfied,
they obviously don't know their worth. And the thing is, that's not respectful for a young man to do that. It's straight up, we won't have to agree to disagree. I'm sorry.
Listen, but we're running a race here. You can't say they don't know. Everybody has a growing speed. Everybody has a stage in their life, when they have a wake-up call. Everybody has a stage in their life where they grow. We all grow, you know, to some degree. Like they say, you grow through what you go through. If they feel or deem that it's wrong for me to be attached to me, they are more than welcome. And I tell them this all the time. You know, find somebody that can be for you. You don't have to be connected to me. I don't want you to feel obligated to do that either. If you find another man today or tomorrow, I'm still going to be here. It's not going to change our relationship. The only thing that would change is the friendship, man. We can't do what we used to do once you start dating somebody. You understand? Because you got to respect him now. Because if he's only looking at building with you and he want to get a good sense of being able to build a good, strong, structured, well-mannered relationship with you, it won't sit well with him knowing that you courting somebody else.
It won't work.
So, no, I wouldn't advise you to do continue the relationship that we have. If you find somebody, I would encourage you to devote your time to him to see whether y'all can create or make sparks fly. I'll still be here for you. If you ever need to call or talk to somebody, I'm always going to be here. You understand? But my job is to make sure
No, I hear what you're saying, but you told them, and I get it, and they can leave at any time, but they're not happy because you said some have already fallen for you. Now, I know that's on them because you told them up front, but to even make yourself available to do – hold on, but even to make yourself available to do that to women is not a respectful thing as a young man. I'm just being honest. We just
explain
have to disagree.
Explain to me how. If I'm telling them, it's not my fault. All right, they still got the decision in the beginning to move.
No, because feel like – it's almost it's almost like this. The candy's here. I shouldn't steal. But because y'all leave it here, I'm going to take it anyway. Uh-huh. No, it's just not right. It's not right. I'm just being honest.
Well, what's not right? You, so what am I supposed to lie to him? This is what I'm trying to explain to you.
And the only way you're going to know and feel what she's saying is when you have a daughter.
Okay. You're coming from a mother.
And I don't know. I'm going to ask my ladies to jump in on this because I hear you, but I hear you as you. I don't hear you as ever being a dad. And if it happens and you have a daughter, everything you have said tonight will change.
Ladies, yeah, but that's what I understand that 100%, right? If I am a father, I would thoroughly encourage my daughter not to deal with somebody like me. I mean, not so much as deal, but like, listen, if you decide to have that man as a friend, yes, it's okay. Just as a friend. Don't be trying to get too emotionally attached to him.
But what you didn't remember, daughters marry their dads.
Yeah, I understand that. Daughters marry their dads, but the dad still has to teach the daughter, regardless of whether, but see, even before that stage even come, it's still up to me to indoctrinate my daughter and guide her as much as I can. If a guy you meet decide to become friends with you and you find out that he's dating multiple women, that's the guy. It's okay to be friends with him. I'm not saying date him. I'm not saying go out on frequent relationships with him. No, because now you be pouring in too much into a situation that may not turn out in your favor. You can be friends with him, call him from time to time. Y'all have a good conversation. Once in a while, y'all might go out, but don't take it no further than that because he already explained it. He already shown you that he's the opposite of what you're looking for. So that's the kind of conversation I would have with my daughter. I would never tell her not to be associated with a man like that because it's a lot of men that are not good, but they still are good friends. Like, yeah, as a friend, yeah, I fuck with him heavy, but as far as being in a relationship, I can never because I know what kind of lifestyle he lives. So, yeah, I would explain that to my daughter and tell her you can be friends with a guy like that but not in no relationship and not to be emotionally connected with him. No. Because you're taking it too far and you're biting off more than you can chew because you won't be happy in the end. This is exactly the kind of conversation I would have with my daughter, which is the same conversation I have with these women. It's nothing different. It's just I respect them enough, number one, to tell them the truth, and number two, to also give them the option. Don't stay stuck with me. Whatever you decide to do, you have the power to change. You have the power to alter it. If you decide to let yourself go, fall in love or begin to fall in love, then at that moment, what you need to do is take a step back. We don't talk frequently then because I don't want you pouring too much emotion into this because I don't want you winding up being disappointed in the end because that's exactly what's going to happen, especially if I done told you that I'm dating multiple women. I don't want you catching no feelings for me, but if it happens like that and you allow yourself, then what you expect me to do? I done already painted the game.
Right, and you can't help who you feel, who you love, who you fall in love with because it's like, he's the perfect man. He's the man that I want, and I'm falling in love with him, but I can't have him. So the best thing to do, in my opinion, is to break it off with that person because she's going to get hurt in the long run because you're not going to look towards her for that intimate relationship. So the best thing to do is like, hey, Susie, I see you catching feelings with me, but the best thing for us to do is for you to break it off because I am not that person for you. So therefore, the best thing, and I'm doing this in your best interest, is to break it off because you need to find someone who you can fall in love with who is quote-unquote like me, but it is not going to be me because I already have someone who I am intimate with. I am in, I don't know, I can't say you're in love with her, but you're intimate with. And so that's where you have to break it. You have to do, which is Break It to Me Gently is the name of the song. So that's what you have to do because, in essence, if you don't do it, she's going to continue, and she's going to get hurt. And the next thing you know, she's going to have a gun at Sally's head in your head. I told you I loved you. Why didn't you do this? You know, and so that's not a good look. Death does not become you, her, or the other person. So the best thing to do is say, listen, we need to break this off because if you catch them feelings, this is not going to look good in the end. Somebody is going to get seriously and deadly hurt, and that's not cute at all.
No, it definitely wouldn't be cute. But they all know. They good with it. No, they all good. But I don't have no problems with any of them. I don't have no problems now. But I've been dating all of them since June of last year. I met all these women around June of last year. And they all still rocking
but
with
that's
me to this day.
Right. And that's, I mean, that's, I mean, I'd love to have a friend like you because, like, hey, you know, I'm not doing anything tonight. What you doing? You know, but once that feeling starts, that is hard to break. And like I said,
it
you
is
you got tune until I'm
you
a whole year.
To what
that's
saying.
You know, it's not going to end well. It is just not going to end well.
Really, seriously.
Because the next thing you know, either Sally's gonna commit suicide, Sally's gonna kind of jump up and kill somebody, the girl you're with. It's not going to be cute. And you've got to realize you're not playing with someone's heart, but you're playing with someone's heart. And once a heart is deepened in, many hearts. And so it's like, you know, I would love to have a man like you, but I can't have a man like you because of all the different relationships. And so it's best to break it off and just deal with the one and say, ladies, you know, I can love you from a distance, but I don't want anybody to get hurt. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings because it's not going to end well. I'm just telling you that because I can feel it and I can see it. And somebody's going to do something that's not going to be becoming. And that's how people's mental health, and that's how these people get shot. That's what's wrong. We play with people's emotions, and the next thing you know, somebody's are ending up at the morgue, you know, toes up. And it's not cute. It's not cute. So
right.
You either need to break it off with them.
Say,
I'm not
I'm
finished.
Say, you know.
I'm just saying it needs to be done. And it can be done gently. It's like, listen, you know, finish your little Valentine's Day, but it's not. It's really, really not. I'm talking that from a woman's standpoint. And if somebody else wants to jump in and tell them the same thing, it's the truth will set you free.
No,
I don't know what else to tell them, but I told them everything I need and everything that I felt I needed to tell them in order for them to detach or go their own way or just knowing that they'll still have my support. Only thing I'm supposed to do as a man is blow the trumpet and let them know, hey, this is what's taking place and this is what how it's going to turn out should you decide to move forward with me. I'm throwing out the warning shots. A lot of guys ain't going to throw no warning shots because if they see benefits.
Stephanie for a minute, and then I'm going to chime in after she says what she has to say.
Go ahead.
Stephanie, go ahead.
I was saying, I mean, I've said, you know, what I needed to say on that. I just said, you know, I already talked about him telling them up front. I do respect that part, and they could come or go, and I hear you. But at the end of the day, when you're providing you're not giving them everything they need because they're getting a piece of you. And they, for now, they might think a piece of you is okay, but it later on, it's going to be problematic. And I know that they have the option to leave or stay, but it doesn't mean that you're necessarily free from not doing from your part in it. But you know, we can agree to disagree, and that's fine. So
yeah. No, I'm not doing nothing. No, I understand what you're saying. It ain't nothing I need to do about it. If you decide to take the ride, that's up to you. I'm just telling you, hey, listen.
No.
It might get a little rocky coming my direction, and if you decide to still take the ride,
Jay, I see that. I appreciate you tonight. No doubt.
No problem.
But I need for you to also look at what I'm getting ready to say to you.
Mm-hmm.
We're in a new world. We're in a new place. As black people, we have to, this is our time to claim who we are, how we look, how we represent, how we act. And hearing you, and I want you to take this to heart because I don't say this, and everybody who know me will tell you she don't say this. You're a man of character. You're a man that's been taught right. But like Stephanie said, there's something there that you haven't gotten over. And I know that in my own world. So I hear you, but I understand what she's saying. And you got to figure out how to get over it as well as a lot of us. But you got to remember who you are, who your mother brought into this world, who your mother taught, because I believe you had a good mother. Am I wrong?
You're right.
And you are on a phone with powerful Christian women, and I know everybody heard me get emotional with you, and I need for you to think about your road ahead. Because I don't want another black man's life wasted because he didn't hear Stephanie, Inez, Sharon. You don't know, honey, how women will snap. And it only takes one bullet for you to say another one. Listen to what these ladies have brought to you, because for you to make this call, and for God to have you speak, he's giving you messages that you need to hear them and in the direction that you need to hear them. You're too young.
I'm sorry.
You're too young, brother. You're too young. And I want you to really think about what you're doing, because it's not just your safety. It is the lady that you are fornicating with that they know about. They can attack her to hurt you. And this is being real with you. You don't know how this is going to play out. Now, ladies, tell me if I'm wrong.
No, you're
right. I agree 100% in what you said. I do.
So what you saying? Let me ask you a question real quick. So what you saying is what y'all are saying is okay, Jay. We understand that you are captivated by this new lifestyle. You're enjoying your time X, Y, and Z. But what really needs to happen is you need to do some deep soul searching, find out, go back to that hurt, face that hurt, and then conform back to the lifestyle that you previously had, which is being a one woman.
I want you to captivate not just the hurt, but the possibility. Lord Jesus, help me, Jesus. The possibility of death. Somebody could get killed. Somebody
could
get hurt. And I'm not coming at you front, and I'm not coming at you skating around. You just don't know. You sound like a beautiful person that is a black man that we want to see. We want to see someone that can communicate and talk, but not play. What you do, and not, but you got to channel it different. For women to be able to feel comfortable enough around to talk to you can be channeled in such a much more positive direction than dating.
Okay, so can I ask
you understand
what I'm... Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying. Are you reverting to, okay, now y'all understand the lifestyle, but the problem is women, because a lot of women wear their emotions on their sleeve, even though I might tell them the right thing and be trying to guide them in the right direction. If they start thinking from a selfish perspective, like I only want you, and since I can't have you, I'll go to the highest extent to make sure nobody else can have you either.
Exactly.
So if it means I got to tear down your life, even though you trying to, you know, be good to me and God that got me and be as truthful to me as humanly possible, I'm still going to make your life a living hell because I can't have you, because I'm a woman and I have emotions.
Right.
And you are what I want, and now it's becoming dangerous for you. Right? You see
right.
how these women could get like
woman,
that, or they could be like that,
right.
which I agree with you 100%.
Right.
You're absolutely right about that, and I really, really...
you're telling me that you are the
Saren,
new
hold
generation.
Saren, hold on. Saren, let him finish. Saren, let him finish.
I said it.
So, yeah, so that's basically... So that's technically what y'all saying, right? Like the women, it can get dangerous and somebody could get hurt and even get killed or lose their life behind it. And it could just be out of jealousy from one of the women that I'm dealing with that may not like the fact that they can't have me all to themselves. So they feel the need to take, I see what you're saying. So I see the directions you're going with that. And I definitely agree with you 100%. 100%.
Right.
Now, and me seeing that as a light, because I agree with that 100%. Right.
Uh-huh.
I also did think about that, because I know, regardless of how you try to serve, or add value to these women's lives, or serve a good purpose in them. So when you're dealing with women, you're not dealing with, especially when you talk about women that want what they want, you know, some of them could be as dangerous that could go that far. I thought about that a lot. The only thing that stopped me from actually seeing eye to eye with that 100, that perspective 100% is me knowing that, okay, I'm a spiritual man too, so I do pray and I ask God for protection. I pray. Hear me out. I know it sounds kind of crazy, but I pray and I ask.
Jesus, okay. I'm gonna hear you out. I know you are, and I believe that you are, and I hear that's why I said what I said. Your mother raised you, so I already hear the spiritual in you. But the direction that you are going, you are 30 years old. You've had your years to play your game. It's time for you to stop this.
No, but that's the thing. I don't want to stop something I like. I enjoy. I love this, and I understand the consequences, but I'm not in fear of that. I don't live my life based on what could happen. I live my life, and I live my life to continue to provide the kind of satisfaction that's going to make me happy, because in the end, I got to be responsible for that part. Even if it is consequences attached, it's consequences attached to technically everything we do, because we don't know what the outcome is going to be. All we can do as Christians is pray and ask God to protect us from all hurt, harm, and danger, because he knows more than anybody else on this planet what's going to happen next. We don't know that. All we can do is assume, but God places a layer on protection of all of us when we reach out to him and ask him to guide us and protect us from all hurt, harm, and danger. And that's all I do. And after that, I go on about my life. I don't think about all. I think about what they can do or what kind of anguish they could take to make my life a living hell, but it hasn't happened yet. And at this moment, to this very day, I can honestly contest and say that they all been sensible. We don't all talk literally every day, but we talk regularly. You understand? We all have good relationships. They understand where I'm at, who I'm talking to. They already understand it, so I don't have that kind of problem. Not yet. I can't say it won't happen later, but right now, since I've been dealing with all of them, I ain't had issues like that. We all been on the same before, and they all fully understand me. That's why they respect me so much.
Okay, can I ask a question?
I can take advantage of it. Yeah, go ahead.
No. Okay, because you have five women. What are the ages of these women? Are they older than you, younger than you, your same age?
37, 43, 45, 32, and 34.
Okay. So, I mean, since they are sensible today, I'm just saying today,
mm-hmm.
you've been almost a whole year with them, you know, I don't want to say, do they have friends who could, male friends. I mean, do you have male friends that you can introduce them to?
Yeah, I mean, well, they got male friends. They say they got male friends that they talk to, but they don't tell me what kind of relationship they got with them. They just say they got male friends. Yeah, I got male friends, you know, we cool. But I don't really go into what kind of relationship they got with their male friends. I really don't question all that. Unless they decide to volunteer that information.
I understand. Okay. We're just looking out for your well-being because, you know, like we say, women, we are women, so we understand women. And we just want you to stay safe, you know,
right.
continue the love you have for these women, but yet keep
right.
them at least two arms distance because you don't know how they may act or react. And, hey, we all have the protection of God over us, but still
right.
things happen. And I just you know, if the woman who you are with, you decide to marry her, you know, you want to be able to marry her. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
just be safe. That's all. I mean, you know, we all
right.
ask for, you know, like I say, God's protection, whatever. But, you know,
right.
good to have friends. You know, we all have friends, but to what extent are
mm-hmm.
they our friends, and to what extent will they, I don't know what I'm going to say, what extent would they do something else? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. Absolutely. You're right. Absolutely correct.
That's all I'm saying. You're the perfect gentleman to keep them at that arm's distance and to at least make sure that they are, quote-unquote, my dad would probably do the same thing, taken care of, and you don't go to bed with them, but yet if somebody's catching feelings for you, you might want to put them at a little bit more distance. You know, you can still be good friend, but at a little bit more distance for the simple fact that you don't know how somebody could roll up on you one day and, you know, do whatever. Not that I'm trying to bring that into the atmosphere. But, no, you know, I'm just trying to think logically because you saw the shooting. You don't know what happened. Why this man shot these people at the Endeavor. You don't know what the mental state of somebody could be. What could, you know, make them as the movie is Snap. And as Sharon was saying. So we just want to keep you safe, you know. And
you
know. That's all I'm saying. Just be, you know, what do you say? Watch your 6 o'clock, as they say. You know what that means, right?
Okay. No, I don't know what that means.
Watch your back. That means watch your back.
Okay.
Watch your 6 o'clock, watch your back. That's all I'm saying. Watch your 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Watch your back.
But you know
I'm
what?
Just throwing
you know
that
what?
Out there.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I understand that. Appreciate it.
Got my hand up. I need Savitre to. I don't know Savitre. The Lord just says that I need you to speak. So I need you to speak.
Savitre, you mean Stephanie?
I mean Stephanie. I'm sorry. Yes, Stephanie. There's too many.
Oh, you need me to speak?
What the Lord tells me, you need to speak.
Okay, well, I'm listening, and I don't want you to think that I'm trying to, you know, paint you as a horrible person. That's just not, you know, what I'm trying to do. And I understand that you're saying, okay, I'm afraid this emotional, I'm helping them emotionally. On one hand, it might be, but on the other hand, you're not. We can't, like I said, we cannot help who we fall in love with, but we can help who we entertain.
Right.
And like I said before, I understand that you told them up front. A lot of guys don't do that. That's true.
Mm-mm.
But because emotionally it can be damaging to them, you know, by juggling so many, you know, women, mm-hmm. and even the one that you have being intimate with, but you're having an even deeper bond with her, and there's a lot of them that you're juggling. And what I'm saying is, I know there's men out here that were, you know, they were faithful, and then they had a woman that cheated on them, or several women that cheated on them, and they say, you know what, forget it, because it seems like women respect more the guys who don't.
Some of these women out here who do that, they have some things that they need to work on. It doesn't mean that we all have things that we have to work on. None of us are perfect. It might be something different from yours. So I'm not trying to paint the picture that I'm this perfect person, because I'm not. But the thing is, I've been hurt in the past. I have. But I'd be doggone if I'm going to allow any guys that I've been hurt from to stop me from being the sweet person that I am, the loving person that I am. Mm-hmm. I love hard. But the thing that I've learned is I need to make sure that I vet these people out, get to know them. And one thing I'm doing is saying is being absent. Let me really get to know who this person is, become a good friend of theirs to see if they are worthy of me giving my love to them and vice versa, you know?
Right.
And so that's important. These guys, the ones that and the thing is, when you look at, I guess, relationships, or you look at situations, you know, some people, I know you're not in a relationship, but there's times, like, I'll give an example of this. This is a probably extreme situation, but there might be a situation where a man's hitting a woman, or a woman's hitting a man. And people will say, the man that's hitting the woman, oh, he's a dog, he's horrible, he hit her. Yes, he's not right. But there's a part that woman played in it, the part to where she didn't see the red flags in him, the part to where she's accepting that hit. And, of course, he had her mind. So when you're in a situation, there's a part that both people play. You know, there's red flags out there. There's things that people need to. And when I say, sometimes people don't like to hear, okay, there's something within me, like I'm broken. Well, you know what? Let me be real. All of us are broken at some point. Even when we decide to get in relationships, there's still going to be a part of us. We're going to get as healthy as we can. But there's still a part of us that we need to work on. We're always a work in progress, all of us. So all I'm saying to you, mm-hmm. I know you said you're happy, and you might not realize it, but you said as long as they continue to come, you're going to keep on doing it. And you see yourself as happy, but it's like you constantly need more. You constantly need more. And whoever hurt you, I'm so sorry. And I know I'm not trying to say, oh, feel sorry for you like that. I don't want you to take it as that. They were wrong for that. But yet, because of how you are and because of how you provide the part of the I won't say emotional stability, because it's not a balance. It's off. It's actually off, because one side you're giving them advice, and the other side it's not stable because you're not there. But if you actually decide, hopefully one day, because you said, you know, you pray and stuff, one day you decide, you know what, I had enough of this, and you will be able to meet the person that's going to do you right. So, well, you don't have to have all these women out here. You say, oh, I know the lifestyle that I like, I'm happy with. But God made us to want connection, and connection with that special person, whoever it may be. And right now, this might be a season that you're going through. I don't know. Maybe you continue. I don't know, because at the end of the day, it's a cause and effect. You know, and God does, you know, look out for us, and he does protect us. But there's times when he lets us just fall a little bit, and we got to see what happens. Sometimes he lets us fall.
Right.
It doesn't say that as Christians we're not going to go through things. So some people paint Christianity as a rosy thing, you never go through anything. No. And there's times when God let me, oh, you're not listening to me, Stephanie? I'm going to protect you, but, baby, you're going to fall, and you're going to hit your head hard. And when you hit your head, I'm going to be here for you. But you got to go through this, mama, because I didn't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
That's just all I have to say. That's what I have to say, yeah. That's
my
yeah,
he taps us on our shoulder. He taps us on our shoulder and gets our attention for the simple fact that, listen, we appreciate you, you know, taking care of these women, but, you know, it's not right. So like we said, that's what God is trying to do to us today, is trying to get our attention, because we are wrong in so many levels. What's going on in today?
Oh, there's a hot mess going on in this world. Oh, my God.
Right.
Yeah,
right,
I understand
right,
that.
Right,
I understand that.
Right.
I understand. Well,
so,
the part of it that's not right is what points to this. Well, I understand what she said, too, but the Bible, I know the Bible said, let every man be persuaded by his own mind. You know, so whatever we decide to do, it's up to us. He gave, he told us to choose right, mm-hmm. but if we decide to choose left, that's right. completely up to you. He gave everybody free will, and it's up to you to go left or go right. But the reality is this
correct.
Too, right? I know that what I'm doing, like, even if you say, you know, the woman that actually hurt you, you were sorry for or the kind of hurt that she mm-hmm. put on me, which I'm to be honest with you, I'm happy she did, because now she helped me realize something that, not saying that I can't trust no other woman or I can't conform mm-hmm. to being with one woman, because if I really wanted to, I could. There's nothing that's going to stop me from doing that. But
right.
like I stated before, when I compare the two lifestyles, I choose this one more. You understand? If
mm-hmm.
I decide, I can cut
mm-hmm.
all these women off today, tomorrow, and just decide to deal with the one that I'm having sex with. If I wanted to do that, there's no hurt that's lingering in me that's going to make me.
Jay, I have to just be in because we're almost out of time here. We've extended this.
Oh, okay, okay. I'm sorry.
Nobody.
No, you're fine. We want you to come back.
We want you to come back, but I want you to also make sure that you have the information that Inez is going to get ready to give you at the end of the show, so don't hang up. I want you to give us a contact letter. I want to be able to talk with you, bring you
I got
part of the
number.
Radio, helping us have a man's point of view with not what you're going through, but with the other two
okay.
instruments. I think what you have to say is important. So please make sure you go to doitallinthemall.com and send us a contact and let us get together. And make sure you order some flowers because it's Easter.
Okay. Well, y'all have my contact number, so y'all more than welcome to reach
well,
out.
You know
if
what?
Y'all
you
need
know
to.
What you call, you know, and we are real, and you know we promote our people, and we need your help. We need your guidance, as well as even if it's different than what we want, you are speaking the truth. Not just you; it's a lot of men that are doing this to our daughters.
Right. Right.
Our children, and I know you hear us because I feel that.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
You the truth because it's not just you. It's what you didn't want to say is what you said to us mothers. Wake up, you guys. What's happening is not just me.
This
is something that seriously is happening to our black females. And I
we
know
also have to ask females. I'm sorry, go ahead. I shouldn't have said
that. But God already said you was going to come. Come on. Come on, Stephanie.
So, and also our young ladies have to realize that you know, they deserve someone that's for them, just like our men deserve that special person for them. I understand there's people who say that they don't want that, but sometimes you don't want what you never had. But when you get it, and it's in God's design, oh, Lord, I didn't know I need this. What I didn't know I needed this because I never had it.
But, Jay, you added some flavor this evening, and we just so appreciate you just coming on, even though you were, quote-unquote, browsing the stations. You came in at the perfect time, and we so appreciate your input. We so appreciate your, what is the word I'm trying to say, honesty. We appreciate the words that you imparted on us because, you know, some people may be out there listening who was going through the same thing. And it's like hopefully we have said something to them that they listen to and something to think about, something to marinate on as they say, yeah, I said marinate, you know, on as far as, you know, what is going on in their lives that you showed us.
Right. Well, I'll leave everybody with one thing before I leave, and I know you're out of time.
Mm-hmm.
if any woman out there is listening to my voice, and y'all know if you heard how I am, do yourself a favor, and if you ever run into a guy that is as honest or upfront as me, still, it would be wise for you to just keep yourself at a distance altogether. Don't try to entertain a friendship or none of that. If anything, just go and connect and link with somebody that's like-minded, that had the same desires and missions to accomplish themselves. Yeah. Being loved by one person and promoting the idea of loving one person. You understand? The most importantly, pray and ask God before y'all get together, you pray and ask God, Lord, if it's this man for me, please let it all work out. However, Lord, if it's not for me, please turn my feet another direction. Put your prayer in front of it and let God have it perfectly.
There you go. Perfect. Bless you.
God bless you. Thank you all for having me.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you.
Wow, that's powerful. Thank you. I don't know if y'all heard what he said, but he just had a shout out to the ladies. So, ladies, you heard it from a man's point of view as far as how he felt. And even though we talked about what we talked about this evening was who says there's benefits in purity, part two, abstinence, you know, He just laid it on the line and just was real, and I appreciate that so much. You, Stephanie, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say that, I guess, wrapping up the purity thing, but, God desires us to experience sex at his best. He doesn't hate sex. And we say in Proverbs 5:19, it talks about physical encounters that satisfying and intoxicating. And that's why sex is for married people. Remember, because we have that bond, that connection that is brought about by those chemicals, our hormone chemicals that release. He wants us to wait because sex is wonderful, and that's why it is worth protecting. That's why God wants us to wait, not to punish us. The boundaries for sex are for our protection, not to deprive us. But he says, wait a minute, you can do it, but I want it to be when you got to know that. Well, he says, I want it to be with your husband, with your wife, that you are supposed to come together as one. And when you come together as one, it can be beautiful, it can be satisfying, it can be intoxicating. Because you've had that friendship. You've put sex on the on the back burner. Also, when you're in your single season, God is a jealous God. He wants you to himself. Mm. He wants you to have your time with him. He wants your future husband and wife to have their time with him. So when you guys get together, you're stronger than ever. She has her relationship with God. He has his relationship with God. So when y'all come together, y'all have y'all's relationship with God. And not that you're not going to have the regular problems in marriage, but you're not going to have all the extra trauma that's created that people don't normally have to go through. And it's sad people think that there's all this extra trauma is what marriage looks like, and that's why people say, I don't want any parts of it, because we have not vetted people out. We do not have the friendship. We have not let go of the distraction. We do that, we can have, like they say, better communication, better satisfying sex life, and a stronger marriage. How they did it back then is a good thing. And I know you have some people say, oh, well, back then they took the women back then let men treat them any kind of way, this and that. There's some that did, but majority it wasn't like that. So I think sometimes we need a little new school, a little old school. I'm not saying you should take everything someone beating you down, cheating on you. No, because the Bible even talks about if someone's cheating on you, that you don't have to be with them. You know? He gives us free will, but there's a cause and effect for everything. And so the last part of it is we were talking about purity. It protects us spiritually, our soul, and our body, our temple. And remember, we know about procreating, to have, multiply, the unity. It brings personal connection, a deeper level of connection and intimacy that's achieved by God's plan for sex. Remember Genesis 2:24 explains how husband and wife, how they leave their parents and they become one. We have to do it God's way.
Leave
we need to do it
please.
God's way.
That's right.
Yes. So some ways, a few ways before I finish, how to maintain abstinence. Be clear with yourself about why you're making your decision and remind yourself, you know, of why you're doing it. Some people get a ring. Some people get a bracelet. Make decisions about abstinence and your limits before getting into a sexual situation. Know what your boundaries are. Avoid being in difficult situations. Avoid some emotional consequences. When you do this, you're avoiding the emotional consequences that sex can bring. You have better relationships, more healthier, more trusting relationships when you do this. You want to make sure that you're guarding your heart. You're setting your boundaries. Surround yourself with godly friends. Have accountability partners. And keep your thoughts as pure as possible. Sometimes it might be you can't watch certain movies or listen to certain types of music. Okay? We might because some of these visuals out here, some of these cues out here, these different things that we see, that we hear, triggers. Thank you, triggers. That's the word I couldn't think of right now. That can entice us. There's a lot of people nowadays that are. I'm watching. I'm a part of this group. It's called Sexless Tribe. I think in Facebook, and there's so many men talking about abstaining, and some of them are football players, and they decide to abstain. They met a woman that's abstaining, and they're just, you can just see the glow within them. I'm a part of this group called TOU, the One University, and they're talking about abstinence. And like I said, you know, there's Dear Future Wifey podcast. There's and they talk about abstain to gain. There's also Redefined TV, where they talk about, you know, abstaining, purity. I've talked about it with Christianity. I've talked about it in society. Both, it shows the research that, you know, that it's better to abstain. Now, I don't know if any man or woman has died because they couldn't have sex. Oh, I can't do this. I don't know any. I haven't seen research on it. So you'll be okay. It's not forever. You're not trying to be celibate.
Right.
You're not
trying
to not ever have sex. You're trying to wait until you get married. And it's really getting you a chance.
For the right person.
I'm sorry, I don't agree with the 90-day rule. How about till marriage? It's not going to kill you. It's not going to hurt you. You'll be okay. You'll learn how to have self-control. You'll learn how to have self-control. And so that's pretty much all I have to say about it, guys. Protect your temple. You know, all of us are here for a purpose. God says what he created was wonderful. If you don't think you are, you need to read that Bible. He said all of us, what he created is wonderful. You know, not the exact words, but he's saying that what he made was good. Yeah, wonderfully made was good. And everything that's done, if we follow his way, not that things will be perfect, but it'll be a lot easier. We won't have all, you know, we won't be as problematic
as it has become.
Yes. We need that foundation. Remember, we need the foundation, or your house is going to crumble.
That's right. There you go. That's a good place to end. That's a good place to end. Perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. What a wonder. That was a good week. That was a good day today. Very good day.
Yeah.
Very good day. Do It All in the Mall does not only write any of the music or commercials you hear on the show today. And Let's Do It Radio thanks Stephanie Whitfield Lott, this evening's guest, of Why Does Love Hurt, on the topic of Who Says There's Benefits in Purity, Part 2, Abstinence. She, as well as all of our entrepreneurs, can be found on the Carousel on the homepage of Do It All in the Mall. And we thank our callers for their questions, comments. It was, oh my goodness, it was wonderful. This will be played for a while. Stephanie is going to be back to further the conversation with us on another topic. Do you know the topic yet, Stephanie?
I'm thinking maybe submission. I'm not sure. We'll see.
Okay. Well, that's something for you. That's a cliffhanger. So y'all just going to have to come back in a couple of weeks to see what the topic is. And visit the homepage under Let's Do It Radio and listen to all of our episodes at your leisure while shopping and Do It All in the Mall. And please go ahead and leave comments on today's show. We'd love to hear from you. And as you shop through the mall, which has been in business for over 13 years, that's how long Do It All in the Mall has been in business, the more funds we build up and the commission is earned on qualified purchases going back into your community where your money matters. You can change lives and make lives matter while making a difference nationwide, worldwide, wherever you are. Do it all. Just make Do It All in the Mall your shopping headquarters. And donations, we gladly and proudly accept donations as well. So click on that donation button on the homepage of doitonthemall.com and voila, make your donation. And contact us if you'd like to be on Let's Do It Radio, have a topic for discussion, or would like to advertise your business by sending an email to doitonthemall@yahoo.com, or complete the contact us information on the homepage of course, doitonthemall.com. And you can call us by calling 509-406-6920 or 813-900-7911. So please Skype, tune in, listen or talk with us at 845-241-9985, Tuesdays through Fridays. And the normal time is usually 3 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern. And Tuesdays we have retired teacher Janet Schwartz, Keeping History Alive, and alternating with Savitri Crenshaw, our investment specialist, and her time is 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And Wednesdays, we have a Bible study with Reverend Carolyn McCullough, teaching from the Bible. And she alternates on Wednesdays with, as you heard tonight, Miss Stephanie Whitfield, with Why Does Love Hurt, which we had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful subject. And Thursdays, we hanging out with Sergeant Parks and Keeping It Real with Black People. Friday, we have alternating Fridays with Perry Whaley, Vitiligo Man of Action, Vibing with Vitiligo. Sunday service, we get to listen to guest speakers. The first Sundays is Reverend Carolyn McCullough. Second Sundays is Dr. Ralph Steele. Third Sundays is Reverend Carolyn Williamson. Fourth Sundays is Reverend Ronnie Marshall. Fifth Sundays is Reverend Heather Lynn Andrews-Watkins. So please share this information with everyone you know. Share it on social media, word of mouth. The bigger the crowd, the more we can do for our communities. And where you find love, you find a good thing if you are both willing to wait. So God will bless you tremendously if you wait. And we're going to close out this evening with music. No, let me see, with Janet Jackson. Let's Wait a While. Thank you. Have a blessed rest of the week. And join us on Friday with Vitiligo, Vibing with Vitiligo.
There's something I want to tell you. There's something I think that you should know. It's not that I shouldn't really love you. Let's take it slow.
To share and be free.
to be frightened with my love, because I'll never give up on you. Let's wait a while, before it's too late. You know you can't rush love, love.
Good evening.
You're going to have people.